Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 26th day of March, 2021. This is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that, of course, is also where we tuck away the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. If you'd like to augment your live listening experience with it, you are mighty welcome to jump on over to headon.live. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you never have before. And jump right in where you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Otto DeShot, Squeaky, Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime veteran, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes, and it's apparently a great day for folding space where Sparky is, and it's a beautiful day for naked radio where I am. Yes. Yes, the first naked radio of spring here at the Horn, and it feels so, so good, because in point of fact, it's 80 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and well, naked radio isn't an act of self-indulgence, and it's an act of self-preservation. It's a mite toasty in here. Right, so every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, of course. So thanks go out to our 26th day of the month subscribers. Yes, indeed, that means thanks very kindly to Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs, for being a partial sponsor of the program for this day. Ralphs is the only. Subscriber for the 26th day, and thanks as well going out to Cecilia and to Elizabeth. And what that means is that we're actually below the $800 mark to finish the week. Between Cecilia and Elizabeth, we are down to, $779 to finish the week. Finished the week fully funded, $779. I think that qualifies as a Horn Family Community Congregation, community-made miracle, yes. And it's rather critical that we do so, because that $779 will take care of my, Jesus, health care premium for the month of April, which has to be paid toot sweet, as it were. So, hopefully we'll get started on that and knock it out and be in good shape to finish off the month of March with Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. The big countdown is on to our second dose of Pfizer, otherwise known as the Ouchie Doocy. I came up with that one all by myself. I'm proud of it. Like I said, hopefully we can come up with that community-made miracle. And then, of course, this to get us started. Oh, by the way, it's Friday on the front porch, of course, and that means here in about, 55 minutes or so, we will gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves to cuss and discuss around the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable where Sparky occupies the seat of honor and has for lo these many years. And we'll see what's on everybody's mind, just to sort of wrap up the week and put a tidy little bow on it. If you'd like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, there's a handy-dandy Skype button over there at headon.live. Just click on it, and it will carry you right into the old holler tree, and you will be part of one of the most unique conversations in all of progressive talk radio. No, that was not a beer. I'm not going to steal John Brittivo's thunder with his beer and Bud Friday. No, that's just sparkling water is all it is, but it's got a little hint of grapefruit to it. It makes it rather nice, and drinking a lot of water these days. Can't remember the last time I drank a bottle of pop. And hopefully with the coming of warm weather, oh, it's pretty outside, mercy sakes. But hopefully with the coming of warm weather, I'll, in the next few months, shed about 30 pounds and knock my A1C back down and be in trim and fighting form for the onset of my favorite time of the year. Mm-hmm. My favorite time of the year, my favorite day of the year, of course, being the last day of spring, right before the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. The day before that's my favorite, and of course, there's my other almost favorite day of the year. You know, not a birthday, not Christmas, anything like that. No, in this case, my other favorite day of the year will fall on the fifth day. The fifth day of June. Mm-hmm. That's the first Saturday in June, which almost without fail, for some reason, in this area, turns out to be a beautiful, beautiful day. It's just how it works out. Anyway, to get us started now, and like I said, $779 to go. Robin! Biden is running a great show. Yesterday, when one of the idiot reporters asked Biden if he was running again, he should have answered something like this. You know, with Jeffrey doing the heavy lifting here. Of course I'm going to run again. I ran 5 miles this morning, and tomorrow I'll jog up the Capitol steps without falling just to shut Fox the hell up already. Don't these assholes have anything better to report on than me taking a misstep on some stairs? Yes, I'm running. I'm running circles around my predecessor, who couldn't even walk down a ramp, let alone run up any stairs. Hell, the only thing Trump ran up was the national debt, per usual of Republicans. Here's the deal. I'm going to run a 5K next month, and the only thing my predecessor could run was this country right into the ground, and that's why the American people grounded him. Well, damned if that isn't excellent, Jeffrey. That's some political rhetoric. Last night, Joey points out, we witnessed a really disgusting display by some real asshole deputies in the Georgia State House when Deputy Do-Right and his monumental, well, that would be Deputy Do-Right Wing, and his monumental minions arrested Representative Park Cannon for knocking on the door of the proceedings in which Brian Kemp was signing some totally disgusting legislation that simply makes it more difficult for minorities to vote. Actually, it doesn't simply make it more difficult. It complexly makes it more difficult, because it makes it more difficult in oh so many different ways. And yes, it is now a felony in the state of Georgia if someone is standing in line. Let's say somebody's standing in line for a few hours to vote, and let's say maybe they're diabetic. And let's say maybe they start experiencing hypoglycemia. You know, their blood sugar falls too low. And having experienced it on a number of occasions, I can tell you it's nasty, nasty business. And you start shaking and you start sweating and your blood sugar falls below 70 and you can lose consciousness. You can go into a diabetic coma real quick. But the Republicans in Georgia don't give a good goddamn because, it's a felony now to give somebody a package of peanut butter crackers and a bottle of water so that they can raise their blood sugar back up. Yeah, those are some real democracy-loving Republicans in Georgia, aren't there? Yeah. Joey goes on to ask or note that they handcuffed and grabbed Representative Cannon around her neck, practically dragging her out of the facility. Gee, I wonder how they handled the shooter that killed 8 people, including 6 Asian women 2 weeks ago. Hell, they probably gently put him in the squad car and took him to Burger King. Jeffrey, on the other hand, has some high thoughts.
For some reason, President Biden stated this legislation was worse than Jim Crow, more like Jim Eagle. No, Mr. President, this disgusting racist legislation should not be associated with a soaring eagle, but rather should be synonymous with a bird that cannot fly, like an ostrich, for instance. This legislation is just a blatant attempt at voter suppression and is so outrageous that hopefully it won't fly in the federal courts either. No guarantee there either, though, because the case will probably first be heard by a Republican United States District Judge in Georgia, and then it will go up to a federal appeals court that is majority MAGA and Republican. And after that, it'll go up to the Supreme Court of the United States, where we must remember that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, well, it was several years ago when old dead-eyed John Roberts declared that racism is a thing that no longer exists in the United States of America. Good job, Jeffrey. The author and poet Walt Whitman died on this day in 1892 in Camden, New Jersey, and they named a bridge after him that crosses over the Delaware River, spanning from Philadelphia to Camden. The Walt, as the bridge is known, is a huge and actually part of Interstate 76. Jeffrey has something on that, too. The Walt does not go over the Schuylkill River, and for that matter, neither does any other road, because even the bridges are afraid of that polluted mess. And Jeffrey, you know, that's not true. There are a few bridges that do cross over the Schuylkill, the Schuylkill, and it is much cleaned up, as we discussed on the program last night. Well, Leaves of Grass was by far Walt Whitman's best work, but was widely ridiculed for being too risque for its time period, so the Dr. Seuss family tried to stop it from continuing to be published. Oh, that giraffe. Yes, the critics of the time were rather frosty with Whitman's finest work, so as fate would have it, the great poet and author Robert Frost was born on the day Walt Whitman died, March 26th, 1874, 18 years before Whitman's death in March of 1892. That's fascinating. And, of course, Robert Frost would read The Gift Outright at the inauguration of John F. Kennedy in 1961 and would be dead a short time thereafter. So 61, 71, 81, 87 years Robert Frost lived on this earth and gave his poetry to the world. Well, Joey, I guess, a glutton for acts of futility, tries to correct Jeffrey. No, Jeffrey, the Dr. Seuss family did not try to stop Leaves of Grass from being published. Yes, I know the Dr. Seuss estate did not try to stop Leaves of Grass, because then Ted Cruz would have had a major lawsuit. Oh, Jesus. Oh, the llama is weary. Considering Cruz would not then be able to read the Leaves of Grass during the upcoming filibusters. Sometimes there's just no point trying with a giraffe. So anyway, a couple of months ago, Joey says, I decided to watch 2 movies back-to-back, Borat and The Trial of the Chicago 7. I watched Borat first and The 7. As I was watching The 7, I could not help but notice that the character playing Abby Hoffman seemed so familiar, and when I Googled the cast only to realize Hoffman was being played by Sacha Baron Cohen, I nearly fell on the floor. Just like Todd mentioned last night, I could not imagine Sacha Baron Cohen in as serious a role, but he was great, and that movie was fantastic, so without even realizing it, I had a Sacha Baron Cohen Saturday evening double feature. And Sacha Baron Cohen has gotten an Oscar nod for his performance as Abby Hoffman in The Trial of Chicago 7. Joey notes, I became a big fan of Abby Hoffman in the 70s after reading about the trial and hearing one of his many famous lines, "Don't shoot dope, because the only dope you should shoot is Nixon." Ironically, Hoffman would OD on opiates on April 12, 1989, as he suffered from severe depression upon realizing what Reagan and the conservatives had done to the progressive movement of the 60s and 70s. Ironically, I was living in New Jersey at the time, right across the bridge from Philly. And when I heard the KYW radio newsman announce the suicide of Abbie Hoffman and subsequently read a note that had been left, I began to sob uncontrollably. So, being so close to Pennsylvania, I got in my car and headed toward Camden, drove across that Walt Whitman Bridge, and made my way north to Hoffman's hometown of New Hope, Pennsylvania, in Bucks County, PA. I had no idea where he lived, but when I arrived near New Hope, I soon saw a procession of cars, and I just followed the crowd, which eventually led to Abbie Hoffman's home. Hundreds of people were there, placing flowers and notes for a brilliant man who fought for the rights of those who could not fight for themselves. Abbie Hoffman was Jewish, so Jeffrey and I would like to wish all of our Jewish friends in the Horn Family Community Congregation Shabbat Shalom, Happy Passover, and have a wonderful Sunday Seder. Indeed, and I echo that. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday on the Front Porch, the 26th day of March, 2021, with Giraffrey wanting to ask John Britovo if that shiny hiney can do the job on assholes like Brian Kemp in Georgia. Oh, I hate to think of doing anything like that with the shiny hiney. Even the shiny hiney's bound to have some freaking self-respect. Yeah. And so there's a $25 Joe Biden running up the score on Trump challenge on the table. Thank you, Joey and Giraffe, for that. The $25 Biden running up the score on Trump challenge is on the table and would take us down to 729 as we seek desperately to make sure I continue to have health insurance and wrap up our community-made miracle this evening. Thank you, Joey, and thank you, Giraffe. Puns notwithstanding. Another person who is mentioned and is shown by some, I forget who played him, but ever so briefly in the trial of Chicago 7 is, of course, Allen Ginsberg. And Allen Ginsberg was, in many ways, sort of the one century later spiritual godchild of Walt Whitman, having achieved fame with poems like Howl and In a Supermarket in California, and himself having participated in the marches of the at the Democratic Convention in Chicago in 1968. And he has some level of a connection to Camden, New Jersey as well. And I'm not sure if it's Camden or another town in New Jersey, but it figures rather prominently in Jack Kerouac's On the Road. Steve in New York pointing out, my favorite line from Howl: go fuck yourself with your atom bomb. The whole thing is brilliant. And, of course, it was banned in various locales all over the country, which made it even more famous. David in South Carolina Stan points out, I had a copy of Steal This Book and Someone Stole It, True Story, the book by Abbie Hoffman, as is pointed out in the film. No one really knows how many copies of Steal This Book were sold because, well, it was called Steal This Book. And Megan says, congratulations, Georgia. I think that's sarcasm. You just put in Jim Crow 2.0. Glad to see that giving starving and thirsty people food and water while waiting in long lines to vote, a problem the Georgia state government created in the first place, is now a felony, proving once again what Republican values really are. And hopefully this thing will be enjoined and will be it'll get a temporary injunction slapped on it so that between now and, say, the midterm elections of 2022, it won't be in effect. That's the only upside to all of this. And that's, well, you know what a thin reed hope is to hang one's hats upon. And an actual ADA case, Americans with Disabilities Act. Steve points out, it occurs to me that this prohibition on water, et cetera, to people in line actually is arguably a violation of Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act. We can get into more details on Friday on the Front Porch. Ooh, I want to hear that. I want to hear that. That's really interesting. By the way, and thank you, Tamara. Tamara pointing out, Patterson, New Jersey? Yes, yes. Yes, I think it was Paterson, New Jersey, that gets a reference in On the Road and gets a reference from Allen Ginsberg. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Darlene points out, oh, stop being a Peter Douchey, Jeffrey. Trump gave Fox News far more attention than Biden is supposedly. So there is one good thing Trump did. And poo-poo to Jen Psaki, whose Fox News is booby prize, scheduled to go on Fox News this weekend for the third time since she started kicking ass as press secretary by simply telling the truth and being respectful. Poor Jen Psaki. I hope she drinks plenty of sake to get through that Fox News interspew. Is she going on with Chris Wallace? That would seem like the only place that she should even marginally befoul her reputation. Jesus. Yeah. Why bother? But then again, it's her job to do her boss's bidding, and her boss wants to reach out and make nicey with the maggots who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings. So, you know, there's that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that brings us to a good starting point for the conversation this evening. And there is some grim news that attends, and I don't know if Jude is listening right now, but this will make her heart hurt. And Jude sent me a note after the program last night. Jude is very, very careful about the words that she says and the things that she states, and she wants always to be accurate. And she said, in sharing the deepest of gratitude for being led to this sports warehouse where I work now, if my words were, they love me, it's how I feel, and not exactly what I intended fully to be voiced, it resides in the reality of how kind and respectful these individuals have shown me, a housekeeper. It pales in the richness for me to convey. As clarity is required. Hi, Clarity. And the intention was to be given to those I am honored to work with. I get it. Yes. And bless you and Todd, plus everyone who chooses to be part of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Peace from Jude. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. And a note coming in from Matt in San Francisco, water and food. I think the Republicans put the water and food thing in the bill to shift people's focus from all the other terrible stuff in it. It also sets up something that can be removed and have people feel like they achieved a victory while still having the heinous stuff remain. They are, observes Matt, an evil lot. They are. Pure and simple. Evil like... oh, I don't know. Evil like arsenic, like strychnine, like cyanide evil. And Matt's right. There's a lot of other, the Republican Party controls every aspect of voting in the state of Georgia now. So if they decide that you don't need to be voting, they can challenge your vote. And who's to stop them? I mean, it may turn out now that every Republican running in the state of Georgia, if this thing goes into effect, everyone running in the state of Georgia may very well wind up winning, you know, sort of Saddam Hussein style with 99% of the vote. Oof. Of course, this goes back to something I suggested earlier, that food and water provision is also designed to be a sort of draw to the civil disobedience crowd. And since it's a felony to give food or water in line, well, anyone engaging in civil disobedience and convicted, if the law goes into effect, and convicted of giving food and water to someone standing in line to vote, say an elderly member of the African American community standing in line, and someone comes up and gives them a glass or a bottle of water as they wait, well, that person can be charged, and then, if convicted, will then be a felon and won't be able to vote anymore, because the entire goal of every last bit of this is to make sure that as many African Americans as possible, don't kid yourself, it's not about, well, it might be about Hispanic people too, and Asians, but it ain't about white people, because there aren't going to be any white Republicans going up and giving water to any white Republicans standing in line to vote in Georgia, because white Republicans don't have to stand in line at the precincts in Georgia where they go to vote. So it also has a sort of double disenfranchisement aspect to it. Ha ha. There's your civil disobedience. How do you feel now? Civil disobedience. Yeah, you're got a felony and you can't vote in Georgia no more. Jesus. Yeah. And Jeremy, with a note, subject line, quitting. Robin, you inspired me to give up one of my bad habits. I gave up Coke. Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. I gave up drinking Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola or Mountain Dew as of last Sunday. I've had none of any of them. That's down from 8 to 10 cans a day for longer than I care to remember. I'm not caffeine-free, but I've taken to Mio, slight flavoring and caffeine and bottled water. 6 days and going strong. Good on you, Jeremy. I'm proud of you. I mean, I'm not some sort of soda pop Maoist or anything, but this shit ain't good for you. It's not. And I got a lot of other stuff that ain't good for me. In terms of my stuff, I have to correct. I mean, I took a long, hard look at my diet, and I've been eating way too much bread. And the funny thing is, when I was a kid, I didn't even like bread. I had to be talked into eating a hamburger the first time, you know, with bread. But the older I've got, but, you know, back then, bread meant that awful, gooey crap in the Wonder Bread bag. And it was only later that I discovered the wider world of wonderful leavened wheat and rye and barley and stuff like that. But I gotta give it up. And rice, too, and potatoes, and generally speaking, starches and carbs. And in terms of cataloging all that, I realize the hardest part of that is going to be giving up pizza. How do you eat pizza without crust? I mean, isn't pizza without crust just hot pepperoni and melted cheese and tomato sauce? Because I'm pretty sure that is the case. I don't know. Maybe I could get one of those pizzas that's made with a crust that's made out of nut flour or cauliflower or something. I don't know. And as to an ADA case, David the Blind points out, yeah, I think if they pulled that in Talibandiana, with Christine having had a stroke, I imagined it would, I would file that suit in Indiana. Well, don't worry. The Talibandiana legislature may be not at all far behind in all of this, because once one anti-democracy Republican state starts it, others are sure to soon follow. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think you could say, yeah, pizza without the crust, isn't that just lasagna? But lasagna has noodles, and they're out too, Steve. Yeah. And as Charlie Pierce put it, Flavio tells us, and thus did the Republicans of Georgia enact a 95-page tribute to the late Lester Maddox and the Lost Cause. Exactly what it is. It's breathtaking to realize that after all the blood and death and suffering that attended the civil rights era of the 1950s and 1960s up into the 70s, hey, everything old is new again. Yeah. It's just the truth. And you know, what's the old saying? The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. I think we could rephrase that to the price of democracy is eternal vigilance.
Well, y'all can just trust us. I mean, we're old white men Republicans and lick spittle Republican women who'll do what they're told because they're Christians and they know not to talk when the men folk are expostulating on the importance of not having people any darker than a white grocery store paper bag do all the voting for them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. The eggplant lasagna. Well, isn't that? Wait a minute. Isn't that just egg? Isn't that just? Oh, come on. What's the Greek dish with the eggplant in it? Yeah. Isn't that just eggplant moussaka? Took me a minute. I haven't had moussaka in a while. I love it. And the bechamel sauce. Why do I keep trying to get us into food porn? I got to stop that. But what I said a minute ago is true, that one of the latest pieces of news today will probably bring tremendous grief to our dear sister Jude, because the U.S. Border Patrol announced today that a 9-year-old Mexican child died while trying to cross the Rio Grande into the United States. The child, 9 years old, along with a Guatemalan woman and her 3-year-old child, were all found unconscious and stranded on an island in the middle of the Rio Grande, trying to cross into the United States. We do not know the gender of the child. But the Border Patrol announced, and if you believe anything the Border Patrol says, you are, well, more credulous than I am.
Agents found the individuals and immediately began administering first aid while transporting the migrants to shore.
At least we have a president now, so that they, such that they can't say, "We found the illegals, and one of them was dead." But a 9-year-old child, who was not the child of the Guatemalan woman, died trying to get to safety and freedom. And we have entirely too many people in the United States who said, "Well, you know, they should have just, the little youngin' should have just stayed there with his mommy and daddy and gotten murdered by the drug cartel. And that way it wouldn't have starved to death there or died of thirst or whatever on an island in the Rio Grande." Well, I tell you what, they are just full of the Matthew 25 love and compassion of the Prince of Peace, aren't they? And that's not a straw man. You can go on any message board. I guarantee you'll find some Republican, or probably thousands of them, saying exactly that. And of those three, it was some of the 500 migrants rescued from dangerous situations in the past 5 months as thousands attempt to cross the border every day. Yeah, I don't know if we can qualify that as rescue, but as Joe Biden pointed out yesterday, numbers are actually down. Border crossings are seasonal and cyclical, and fewer people are trying to cross now, no matter what the people at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, say. God, it's all so sad. This is not rocket scientist. A 9-year-old child was not coming here to kick some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, amosexual, Christian Republican from getting a job picking fucking lettuce. But I'm sure there'll be more. Because, of course, there'll be more. Because, well, we're not very good at this. But what I said a moment ago about when one piece of nasty Republican legislation gets a foothold, other Confederate states and maggot states are sure to follow. And so for that, we go to Arkansas, where Governor Asa Hutchinson signed a bill into law today. And that law now, which also will be challenged in the courts, and given the makeup of this Supreme Court, will probably be upheld on the grounds of religious freedom. That law allows healthcare providers to freely discriminate against any member of the LGBTQ plus community who are seeking to become patients or are patients. This Orwellianly named filthy bill is called the Medical Ethics and Diversity Act. It has nothing to do with medical ethics and absolutely nothing to do with diversity, because allowing people to allowing medical personnel to discriminate against people simply for how they exist on this planet. I mean, why not just add Asians and African Americans and Hispanics and Indigenous Americans and, well, hell, just make it anybody who can't show a Republican voter registration card, you fuckwit Hutchinson and the filthy-ass Arkansas legislature. Well, the life and health of every LGBTQ plus person in Arkansas is now at hazard. And, of course, it was brought about by a state senator, a Republican by the name of Kim Hammer, who's also, in addition to being a member of the Arkansas legislature, a missionary Baptist preacher. That's right, a gospel sharp. And it won't be long at all before it goes into effect, unless it is somehow enjoined in the courts again. Among other things, as delineated in an article at the New Civil Rights Movement, his Medical Ethics and Diversity Act allows a doctor to refuse to treat a transgender person. It allows somebody who does mental health therapy and counseling to refuse to further treat a teenager who just came out as gay. And we've had these so many of these stories over the years. It reinforces the right of pharmacists to refuse to prescribe pregnancy prevention medication, also known as birth control. And it wouldn't even matter if that birth control was prescribed for nothing having to do with pregnancy prevention, but rather to do with all too common maladies like polycystic ovarian syndrome. Yeah. Or say a nurse could say, "No, I ain't gonna do this," and march out of an OR suite where a woman who had to have an abortion to save her life, like say in the case of an ectopic pregnancy, she could just leave her there on the table. And so could the doctor and the anesthesiologist or the nurse anesthetist. They could all just leave her laying there. "Well, sorry about that, honey. Say hi to Jesus when you get there." And it extends so far as to provide cover for insurance companies to discriminate. And how that's not running headlong into the Affordable Care Act, I'll never know. But in Arkansas now, if you happen to be HIV positive, an insurance company can say, "Nope, in the name of Jesus, we ain't going to cover your HIV cocktail. So being how you're a sodomite, you just need to go and die. And by the way, say hello to Satan when you get there." Needless to say that this allows doctors to refuse to perform gender confirmation surgery, top or bottom. Yeah. So, you know, diving back into the Middle Ages, that's Arkansas. And look for this to be introduced in, if it hasn't already, in legislatures all over the Confederacy. nasty, aren't they? Hateful, even. And as Flavio points out, the Brennan Center for Justice has tallied up 250 bills to restrict the right of American citizens to vote in 43 out of 50 states. West Virginia is one of them. And so, too, the entire Confederacy and the extended Confederacy, places, I'm sure, like Oklahoma, maybe Arizona. I mean, come on, there's only seven that aren't, so what would that be? California, Oregon, Washington, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island. These are introduced bills, not bills that have become law, but still. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And Kyle says, Robin, don't give them any ideas. They're already trying to actively kill and eliminate LGBTQ plus people. They'll work on all the non-white, non-straight males next. Anybody want to explain how America isn't a Nazi state? Well, there's a hell of a lot of the, what's the name of this goddamn thing again? There's a hell of a lot of the Medical Ethics and Diversity Act that makes one feel it should have been maybe called the LGBTQ plus Final Solution Act. As to the child who died in the middle of the Rio Grande, Kyle says, you know, just like Jesus said, suffer only the white little children to come unto me and forbid everyone whose skin isn't sufficiently pale. Kyle's in a bit of a state right now, and I understand. I do so understand. White man shoots up a church, cops take him for a burger. Black woman knocks on a door to ask about the governor taking away voting rights for black people, cops take her to jail. What the fuck kind of country is this? But a note that I received from Kyle earlier in the day needs some light brought to it. I do not have a link, kind of relying on Kyle for this, but Kyle has never shown himself willing to or interested in disseminating false information, so I have no problem believing this. It falls squarely within my confirmation bias zone. The right wing, because we all by now we all know the story of the container ship that's stuck in the Suez Canal, and the story behind it, that apparently it's tracking via GPS. It is as though someone was using an Etch-a-Sketch to crudely draw a penis and balls. No, really, you know, like you see on bathroom stalls and the like. So there's that. And shipping is piling up behind the stuck container ship in the Suez Canal. And I don't know, some of them may get orders to turn around and head around the Horn of Africa. That can get interesting. Because the seas in the winter in the Southern Hemisphere, either on the Cape of, around the Cape of Good Hope or around Cape Horn. Did I say the Horn of Africa? I did not mean the Horn of Africa. I meant the Cape of Good Hope. They can be fierce this time of year. Those latitudes are referred to as the Roaring 40s and the Furious 50s and the Screaming 60s, with, you know, seas that well overtop the bows of the vessels and whatnot. But as to the stuck ship itself, Kyle shared this. The right wing, now, you know, the maggots, the people who believe in Senor Q-Tip, Monsieur Q-Ball, Mr. Cucumber, the right wing is actually saying that the ship stuck in the Suez Canal is a human trafficking ship that was paid for by Wait for it. Paid for by... Yeah, there's no pun coming after this. This isn't a Jeffrey thing. But the container ship was paid for because it's full of children to feed the insatiable appetites of the pedophile cannibals who wear baby faces from time to time. Yeah. The container ship is paid for by Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton! As Kyle noted, I give up. I don't have any words. I got words, Kyle. Can I help? What the... God damn, jaw drop, dead, ignorant, stupid. Yeah. Words fail pretty quick for me, too, even though I was trying real, real hard. My apologies. I guess we're blipping again this evening. No idea why. But hopefully that won't be too much of a problem going further into the program. Steve in New York pointing out religious freedom bullshit based upon sexual orientation. Were I a doctor, and I may even do this as a lawyer, I will refuse to represent a client based upon his or her sexual orientation for being straight. What's sauce for the fucking goose is certainly sauce for the fucking gander. Here. I've kind of been wondering how long it would take for something like that to take hold. I mean, let's say Arkansas. One's straightness is certainly not constitutionally protected. Because, you know, every time one of those bills that comes up that would create a protected class out of one's gender identity or sexuality, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christians holler, oh, we can't do that! No, because Jesus... Last I checked, Jesus wanted all classes to be protected. Because it's kind of in there, the book, you know, the one that they thump and don't read. Mm-hmm. But I have. I've been waiting. So if every person who lives and works in Arkansas and is a member of the LGBTQ plus community said, nope, won't serve you. Mm-mm. Nope, sorry, you're too white and too straight. Can't help you. You'll have to go somewhere else. You realize that there's every likelihood that one would not be able to buy flowers for a dead white Christian in Arkansas? I'm not saying that all florists are members of the LGBTQ plus community, but, well, yeah. There are places where the community is overrepresented. And I don't mean that in a bad way. What if a pair of good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans sat down at a nice white tablecloth restaurant, and I do mean white, in, say, the metropolis that is Little Rock, and their waiter turned out to be gay and said, sorry, can't serve you. Too white, too straight. Bye. Well, I mean, that's their right, ain't it? And so maybe it's time. Maybe Steve's on to something. Okay, says Steve. I'm giving in. I'm going to start my own QAnon-like site. At least I can make shit up and make some money off it. They will fall for anything. Anything. Because they want to. But you're going to have to come up with some seriously paranoid, weird, anti-Democrat, anti-liberal, anti-decent human being stuff. And I don't know if you want to spend much of your brain power on that, because it leads to bad things, man. Bad things. Mm-hmm. Ron in Raleigh says, what kind of country is this? The question posed by Kyle, and Kentucky stand? It's the same fucking country it's always been, Ron says. Racist to its core. Until white people come to grips with their racism, it will remain so. Well, Ron, that's not cowbell stuff, and I don't expect you thought it was. It's just a matter of pure, untrammeled, unfly-blown fact. That's who we are. Oh, Rico in the Berg wants to know, where are you at with fundraising tonight, m'lady? Well, thank you. Thank you, Rico. We have a challenge on the table right now that would get us down to, what did I say? Yeah, 7:39. If that challenge is met, we will be at 7:39 to finish the week. And as I noted, this part of finish the week is my health insurance premium. So, sorry. That's just, everything else gets paid, and this happens at the end of the month because the bill comes due at the first. So thank you for asking, Rico. We are, once the challenge is met, at 7:39. By the way, a question coming in from our pal Frank in Iowa. The update is called for. Not sure how many weeks it's been now, but my friends, America's truth detector, Rush Limbaugh, is still dead. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for the reminder, Frank. I appreciate you asking. Still very much dead. And we're waiting for that news story out of Missouri, somewhere in the St. Louis area, stating that his mortal remains have floated off down to the Mississippi River on a flood tide of urine. Right. Religious freedom fuckery, Megan says, those pushing this religious freedom legislation ain't thought this through. Wait till a Muslim or a Jew stops selling pork because it's against their religion. What then? I know this is a mild example, but those pushing this particular strain seem to think they're protecting only Christianity. Newsflash, you can't legislate and have it only pertain to certain classes of people or certain faiths. No, that's absolutely right. And Steve was right there with Megan saying, or a Jewish person who won't serve Christians, a Muslim who won't serve a non-Muslim, a dudist who won't serve anyone but a dudist, and a pagan who won't serve a non-pagan. And therein lies the dissolution of civil society. All of which was in the minds of the reasonably intelligent framers of the Constitution, who, though they were deeply flawed white men, still managed to try to create a system where we wouldn't do exactly what places like Georgia and Arkansas are now doing. That is, providing religious favoritism to the dominant religious majority. Mm-hmm. Like I said, hell of a week. Kyle, responding to Steve, says, refuse to represent someone for being straight and they'll get rid of that law quicker than they'll send us all to hell. And that's pretty damn fast. Yes, indeed, Kyle. So, Lee says, stop it, Robin. They hold up the book and profess that their ideas are in there. They never actually read it to understand it. Hell, they don't even read it to see what it says. No, they don't. And in news of people who are having a bad day, that probably applies to the suits class, the executive class over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. They've been hit by a 1.4 billion dollar lawsuit for defamation by Dominion Voting Systems, because of course Fox News TV Radio Rwanda blathered almost endlessly about that Voting Machine Corporation. This is not the Voting Machine Corporation fan club radio program of the air. But I can see where they might be a little pissed off because there's a lot of money in it. not nearly as much money in paper ballots that you mark with a pen or pencil and then drop in the box. This is a big dollar operation. Mm-hmm. But with the arrival of that lawsuit, well, what comes with it is something that is commonly referred to as discovery. And that's going to be interesting. And so of that $1.4 billion ad damnum clause in their lawsuit, one wonders if part of the considerations by the folks who run Fox News TV Radio Rwanda might be, well, I wonder how much money they'd take to go away. Oh, it's 1.6, not 1.4. 1.6 billion. Thank you, Lee in New York. You reckon they'd take like 800 million? Because, I mean, we pay that kind of money just because people like Bill O'Reilly can't keep their hands and their filthy words off of women. I mean, we did Roger Ailes. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. So no doubt the lawyers are pondering that. Writing on the issue over at Twitter, a political science professor from Dartmouth College by the name of Brendan Nyan has said, discovery's going to be lit if this gets that far. Plausible Fox drives a dump truck of money up to Dominion like it did in the Seth Rich case to make this go away. How many times can they do that? A lot. I mean, when you think about Rupert Murdoch's fortune. But God, he's got to get a little tired of this, right? I mean, even diehard ideologues like Rupert have got to get a little bit miffed at constantly. But I think before I accepted any money, I would want to get through. I'd want to get through discovery. And this is one of those moments where I think it's going to be interesting to find out just how far corporate personhood goes. I know we complain a lot about corporate personhood, and with good reason. But damn. You know, defamation suits are prone to being bounced on a legal procedure called summary judgment. If Fox can demonstrate that there is no material issue of fact or law in the matter, depending on how it was filed, of course. And the nature of the allegation is that Fox, quote, sold a false story of election fraud in order to serve its own commercial purposes, severely injuring Dominion in the process. And there's no injury in Merca, quite like a financial injury to an immortal corporate person. And they did it over and over and over again, and that's one of the problems. The jury would likely get to hear it over and over and over again. And then maybe even the corrections of things that were said by, you know, Lou Dobbs. Or the fact that Lou Dobbs wound up getting canned. So it'll be fun to watch. And gosh, I hope that the ulcers that the board of directors at Fox get don't hurt too little. Happy to accommodate Suman. Suman says, can we please get a status update on David Koch as well? Thank you. You're welcome. Alongside Rush Limbaugh, David Koch, Suman, is still dead. Yes. So with that all having been said, let me send a little message here so that we can get started on the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation and see where it takes us. Because God knows I've only scratched the surface of things this evening. One of the things, we did we Did we talk about the case out of Texas? It happened close in temporal proximity with the massacre in Boulder. But this, of course, happened in Texas, near Matador, Texas, recently. As a man from Arizona by the name of Larry Wilcox got his freedom protectors. And I will say at the outset that if one is judging by appearance alone, there is reason to believe that Mr. Wilcox is not screwed down particularly tightly. No. But he was screwed down tight enough that he was able to chase down and harass and try to run off the road a small National Guard convoy in Texas. He started trailing them at a gas station in Lubbock and got to about 2 miles east of the town of Idaloo. I bet you John Bridevo knows where that is. Where he, again, like I said, tried to run the convoy off the road and veered into oncoming traffic, things like that. Yeah. And eventually the National Guard trucks, which, by the way, were hauling vaccines. They were on errand of mercy, as the National Guard so often is when it isn't being deployed in Washington, D.C. to beat the living hell out of people protesting and exercising their First Amendment rights, as was the case last summer in D.C. No, these National Guard troops were on a mission of mercy, carrying desperately needed COVID vaccine in one of the most tormented areas of the country. He pulled them over, held them at gunpoint, and demanded to search the vehicles. Along the way, Mr. Wilcox said he was a detective. And since there was a live weapon being pointed at them, the National Guard troops got out of the vehicle. Yeah. And the National Guard troops, didn't have any guns. I'm sure the gun humpers out there will say, that's why we got to always have guns with the National Guard. You know, freedom, a good guy with a gun. Mm-hmm. So the cops eventually showed up, and they arrested Mr. Wilcox and charged him with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, unlawful restraint of 11 National Guard soldiers, unlawful carrying of a weapon, impersonating a public servant. I'm a detective! And interference with Texas military forces. Now, why was he doing this? No, actually, he wasn't some sort of anti-vaxxer goon that we know of. He, or perhaps the fillings in his teeth, had convinced him that a woman and a child were being held hostage in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Gee. A woman and a child being held hostage. Where have we heard that sort of thing before?
Yeah, maybe them National Guard vehicles wasn't really National Guard vehicles. They was vehicles what was painted up to look like National Guard. And they was paid for by Hillary Clinton, and they was taking a woman and a child up to Washington, D.C. to be kept in the basement of that pizza joint there in Washington, D.C., Comet Ping Pong Pizza. Well, it ain't got no basement.
Republicans. Mother. Merca. Don't y'all start. Jeremy in Vermont. How about an Art Bell update? What, maybe, wait, we'll have to channel Jesse Lee Peterson for that. He did! Or not, depending on which QAnon conspiracy theory you buy into. And then, okay, this will give you an idea of what Mr. Wilcox looked like. Flavio says, when I saw a picture of Mr. Wilcox, first thought in my mind was, gee, I thought they got Saddam Hussein already. Guy's a dead ringer for Saddam Hussein. Well, no, he's just a ringer. He's not dead yet. He is, however, in custody in Texas, but he's white, so nobody has to worry about, you know, him dying in custody or anything. No, no, no. And we're going to have some Marjorie Taylor Greene cucumber news. She has gotten her pogo stick out and launched herself up onto the cross. You might, Dave and Talibandiana, you might want to tell the boys down at the shop to get busy whipping up a rush order, because it looks like she's trying to self-crucify. All right, so we are into the second hour of this Friday on the Front Porch program. I'm not going to fill a Robster into much of it. I'd rather get the conversation going. Let's check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, what's going on?
Another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Ah, the photos you're posting there look like it is indeed.
Grady's out back laying down all the way out by the pasture.
Wow, it is a clear day there. I mean, that picture of Mount Lassen is just breathtaking.
Yeah.
Snow-capped even.
Mount Shasta looks really nice, too. I had to run uptown today to get some prescriptions at the drive-through pharmacy. Coming back, you get on the freeway, and you can see the whole mountain practically.
Wow.
It's just white can be.
Now, the photo that you posted, I'm looking at, there's two big mountains there. One of them's obviously Lassen, right?
Yeah, the one...
It looks
like it's got a tree branch coming out of it, but it's just the way the snow falls or something on it. I don't know. The other mountain is called Brokaw.
Okay.
That's because eons ago, there used to be a 20,000 geologists determined that a 20,000 foot mountain, that was part of the mountain. It went from one side to the other, but it was 20. If you put the two mountains together, imagine a mountain, draw a dotted line, come up and then go down to the other side.
Wow.
Of the actual Mount Lassen. But it blew up eons ago.
Being how it was a volcano and everything.
Yeah. And it spewed rock all over the place. Like that country, the greenery country that you see in the picture.
In the foreground, yeah.
Yeah, that's right behind my house. You drive up there. Off on the corner, there's a microwave tower on the top of that little hill, and there's a road that goes up there. And as soon as you get up there, it flattens out, and there is volcanic rock everywhere.
Wow, is it like pumice or basalt, or are you that? Do you know?
I don't know. All I know is just fragments of it. You know, big boulders, little ones, bigger ones, all everywhere. They even got a quarry up the road here where they get it and they haul it off and they take it somewhere to cut it and make patio deals or whatever, walker, you know, fireplaces or whatever they do with it.
Yeah. That's a beautiful country. Beautiful. Love to see it myself someday.
Yeah, that hill right there with the road coming up on the side of the picture, that's called Hog's Back. And you drive back up in there, and there's wild hogs everywhere.
Wow. Nothing you want to run across without not to sound all pro-gun or anything, but a wild hog is not something you want to run across without a functional firearm. Because they'll charge.
Yeah, well, these were feral hogs that went wild.
Yeah, and they will among other things, they will eat anything. And you know, you get got by a wild hog, there won't be any there won't even be any teeth left to identify.
Yeah, well, the boars get pretty good tusk on them.
Yeah, they can rip you up.
Because as a kid, I went up there hog hunting a couple times. Even went up there, a friend of ours that lived in the neighborhood went up there, just had a Trail 90, Honda Trail 90, and he had a milk crate on the back that he has a dog sat in. And he went up there and he chased out some hogs and he shot three of them. So he came back down and he gutted him and everything and left them there overnight. And he came back down, come over to our house because we had a Toyota Land Cruiser, and with a motorcycle carrier on the back. So we took his motorcycle, and we had to drag the hogs out of the ravine up to where he could get them on his motorcycle and haul them to the truck. And the one dressed out, the boar, was 180 pounds. He had like 2-inch tusks.
Is it fit to? I mean, is it real? Is it wild and gamey, or is it fit to eat?
Oh, it's fit to eat, all right. But it's kind of gamey meat, you know, good sausage.
Sausage. Well, we've got an answer to the geology question. Dave, number 11, says regarding Lassen, it's andesite and diorite. It's all granite, just the ratios are different. Well, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Yeah, I was thinking, because I know up in that region there are some deposits of really good examples of volcanic glass. And that stuff's amazing because it makes knives that are actually sharper than scalpels.
That place is, there's a place, it's at a lookout, and it's in Modoc County.
Yeah, there's some sort of like a state or national park or something.
They have Lava Beds National Park up there.
Yeah.
That's where Captain Jack made his last stand against the U.S. Army in 1876. He's a Modoc Indian. That's the tribe. But anyway, the mountains up in that area, because my stepson, my wife's been up there. My stepson's got a big old, I got it now. It's a big old picture with all these arrowheads in it he found, framed. They got up there, grass. The Indians used to go up there and make their arrowheads right there. Some of them, they just throw them away if they didn't like them or something. I don't know.
Well, you have to flake a lot of stuff off, and you'll get leavings, as it were.
Yeah, but these are actual arrowheads, you can see. I should take a picture of it sometime and post it.
All those things, yeah, and you know, probably, you know, 5-6 thousand years old.
No idea. There's a lot of history there. The Lassen country up there, that's where Ishii was from.
Oh, I remember that, reading that back in high school.
Other than that, I was going to say something. I forgot what I was going to say. I got a rat that's giving me headaches in here, yeah. Playing mind games with me.
Now, is it time to get out the electrical rat death chamber?
Well, I've got it. I've got these other traps. I forget what they're called. But they're plastic, and they got like shark's teeth on them. And they work good if they get go for the peanut butter.
Oh, but there's not an animal on earth that doesn't love peanut butter. Yeah, what we're talking about is obsidian. Took me a while to come up with it. Yeah, the beautiful stuff. Ah, is that an ice cold beer, Sparky?
Yeah.
Good.
It's beer and Bud Friday.
Yeah. What's the flavor of the evening?
It's just Bud.
And so it's actually Bud and Bud Friday?
Bud and Bud Friday.
Ah. Little tiny jingle. Yeah.
Same thing Roger drinks.
Let's see here. That being the case, I haven't heard from Steve in Georgistan for a little bit. Check in, Steve.
Blobbin, what's shaking, man?
I don't know, Steve. It's all on you.
Really?
Yeah.
So, man, must be some synchronicity going on. I've got a mouse tail of myself.
Oh, yeah?
To share.
Did you have to call the guy?
Well, I'll get to that. Yesterday, I seen a little field mouse out running around in front of the dishwasher. I said, well, I got to catch this bastard. Before anybody sends you blast emails, I know if you see one, there's probably 10. I realize that. I got that. Okay. But anyway, I put out a glue trap last night. About 5 a.m. when Karen and I got up, Karen says, Steve, you caught your buddy in a glue trap. Looked dead to me. I said, well, just toss it in the trash. All right, that was 5 a.m. this morning. Okay? Yeah, you know where this is going, don't you?
That weren't no dead mouse.
Yeah. Well, about 2 o'clock this afternoon, my office trash looked like it needed emptying. So, well, I'll go empty it. So I get out there and I notice my trash bag's wiggling around.
Oh,
son of a bitch is climbing out. He's halfway out. So I have nothing but an office trash bucket as a weapon. So I'm banging this fucking thing in the head. Bam, 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 bam. You know,
was it plastic or metal, Steve?
It's one of these metal mesh ones. There's not much to it.
Whack-a-da, whack-a-da, whack-a-da.
Yeah, bam, bam. That's all I had at my disposal. I didn't want to turn my back on it because I didn't want the little fucker to get loose again, you know? So I thought, well, good, he's stunned. Well, maybe he's dead. So I'm sitting there staring. He's staring back at me.
He's dead, Jim.
He's got to be dead. 2 minutes later, he starts thrashing and thrashing and thrashing around again. And I'm freaked out thinking, oh, my God, zombie mouse, man. Freaked me out. I'm going to have PTSD over this, you know. So I start whacking him in the head again. Bam, 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 bam. Then I'm thinking, God, I need to call the guy.
You need a cat.
Or let's take care of the situation at hand first. So I look up, and in my sight distance and within reaching distance, I happen to see the fix-all of everything. And you know what that is.
WD-40?
Yeah, that or duct tape. I've always said when I die, just spray WD-40 up my mouth and, you know, tape it shut with duct tape, and I'll come back to life. But anyhow, I seen a roll of duct tape. Problem solved, man. I took the duct tape, stretched it out, and taped the little bastard to the bag. And then went and got a construction bag, put it down inside, and I got a cast on. So this is all very cumbersome for me to do. Hobbled down to the outside trash.
Oh, Jesus, Steve.
And threw the mouse away in the trash can that he'll never get out of that. There's
I thought
way.
You were going to say you went ahead and wrapped it up in the duct tape so it could, you know, suffocate in misery. Yeah. Like some sort of verminous Edgar Allan Poe cask of Amontillado bricked up in the wine cellar kind of thing.
And there's a part of me that felt bad because I'm not a violent person. And here I am, bam, bam, bam. And I'm thinking, well, man, maybe this little fucker deserves to live. Maybe I'll just take him outside and let him go, you know. But that wasn't going to happen. But if I do see another mouse, I ain't fucking around. You know what I'm going to do?
What's that?
Call the guy.
Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not playing beat the mouse with the head with the office trash receptacle any longer. I'm going to call the guy, man. That's it. So that's my mouse story for today. Zombie mouse. I was petrified. I called Karen, and I said, man, I'm going to have PTSD over this thing. Next time we kill a mouse, that thing needs to go straight to the trash can.
Oh, dude, no, you could never call Karen for that. You'd have to mail in your man card at that point in time. I mean, you know. Wait, there's some gender stuff going on here now, but I still acknowledge that.
She's a country girl, though, Robin, and she's tough as nails. She handles snakes, man. She's not afraid of anything, you know. My grandmother, I grew up on a farm in the summertime. They had an old potbelly stove. I know you've seen them, where they had the side chambers. I have seen her actually take a nest full of baby mice, whatever the fuck they're called, and throw them in that side chamber where the fire is and not even bat an eyelash. You just burn them up alive, man. So, you know, country women are tough.
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up with my mother, my dear, sweet, wouldn't hurt a fly mother. Okay, she swatted some flies. Telling me stories of, you know, Sunday morning before church, going out to the chicken coop and grabbing one. And, you know, mom wasn't one for wringing a chicken's neck. She said that seemed inhumane. So, nope. Over onto the old stump it went, and out came the hatchet, and
right.
And my poor soft-stomached father would just be sitting there cringing. What? But then again, he couldn't stand to watch her shuck an oyster either. So,
well, and you have to understand, flour and spices were a precious commodity back then. To have a mouse run loose in your flower room, couldn't have that.
No.
She did not bat an eyelash about taking a nest full of baby mice and just throwing them in the fireplace, man. It wasn't the stove that we ate on. At that point, they had moved up to we had an electric stove, but they did use it to heat the kitchen. Old Victorian farmhouse. Must have had 20 rooms, and all the rooms were in parallel, so that they ran off of like four fireplaces. They were all stacked on each other. So I don't know if you can envision that or not. And the ceiling must have been 20 to 30 feet high. It's not like the houses today. It was built for a time when there was no air conditioning, and you could actually live in a house in the summer without roasting your privates off.
Yeah. And speaking of roasting, yeah, we've dropped all the way to 79 here, but yeah, it's pretty cool and comfortable.
I put a picture of the rat trap by you.
Call Duncan. You want to be the guy? I'll call you if I see another mouse.
Yep, yes, Duncan's the guy.
Could be the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy.
Could be the guy. I'm electrocuted and trapped in about, 25 rats.
You ever bludgeoned one to death with a
garbage can?
Yeah. No, they're too quick. I chased after them with a. I've got like an 8-foot piece, a half inch, or not even. It's 3/8 PVC. And I call it my rat rattler. And I'll go around in here, and if I hear one, wherever it's at, I'll rattle it around in there and then make them run out. And they'll get up on the ceiling and run through the rafters in here, because we got these brace boards that go all over the place, and they run all over up there. They get everywhere in here.
This one must have had his ass stuck to the glue trap because he couldn't get through the hole, but he got halfway out. I could see him squirming around. It was something out of a Stephen King novel, man. Never a dull day. You think, you know, working at home, what the hell could go wrong? You should never ask that.
Never. Never, never ask that question. And meanwhile, I guess with the you know, I managed to get through the filler robster, but I'd say dinner's toast in the Central Daylight Time Zone at this point, Steve. And you know, it's kind of on you. Kind of on you and Sparky, but... You really did take it to the next level with the bludgeoning.
Next level, let's carry it even further.
Yar.
If you can get a hold of, some lion pee and put it around the perimeter of your house, that'll keep mice and rats away.
Lion pee?
Yeah, lion pee. Yep, Google it. Something evolutionary.
Yeah, I bet elephant pee doesn't work.
Probably not. It's got to be lion pee.
And, you know, there's probably a market for it. You know, go online. You know, because, right.
Who's this zookeeper that gets the milk to lion?
I was wondering how they catch pee, but it's probably on.
Oh,
crime.
it's just cat pee with a picture of a lion on the bottle. Come on, Steve.
But who gets to catch the cat urine? I mean, how would you like that?
Yeah, it's
job?
Still a losing proposition.
What do you do for a living? You really don't want to know.
I'm the lion pee guy.
But that's my interesting tale for the day. If I see another one.
You well, know. You've got your first victim, Steve. Megan just said, all caps, I just ate McDonald's for dinner. Imagining dead crushed mouse after eating a quarter pounder. Yum!
I'm sorry, Megan. Awful apologies, in the words of Kurt Cobain. Wow. But yeah, when I woke up this morning, I never thought I'd be bludgeoning a mouse with an office trash
can. Well, who goes to bed thinking that? Yeah. What am I going to do tomorrow? Well, you know, getting it. It's the end of the week. Got to do a little bit of laundry, bludgeon a mouse. Yeah, I mean, this of course, has started a conversation. David in South Carolina, Stan, just said, when a possum got in my house, I baited him with dry cat food, heard the unmistakable crunching, put an upside-down plastic laundry basket over him, then slid him across the floor under the basket, and finally out the front door under the front porch where he did his play dead act, and he finally got up and wandered into the woods. Oh, but not you, Steve. Beat the little bastard to death. I'll show you.
David, next time I'm going to call the guy, bro. Call the guy. It's a reoccurring theme now.
Yeah, Lamar the Magnificent just said, what, again? Steve has a call the guy story? I came in late.
Well, it's not there yet, but it probably will be, because as we know, if you see one, there's probably 10. It's been my experience, and they all look alike.
Oh, Jesus, you didn't. You didn't. You won't get frightened. Well, was it a field mouse or a house mouse? I didn't bother to ask. It was an in-my-house mouse.
I was too busy bludgeoning the damn thing. It kept coming back to life, too.
You know what you need? You don't need a cat. You know what you need, Steve?
What's...
I'll leave a note over by one of the little openings in the studio, and what you need is Sam the Studio Serpent.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
Suddenly a mouse wouldn't be such a problem.
Her cat. It's about the cat. Rick, what's going on, bro?
Hey, how you doing? I've been busy billing.
Oh, I hear you, man.
Oh, getting some early season billing in?
Yeah, it's been a good month here. March has been a good month for me. I can't complain.
Good. Hey, I need to send thanks out to Gary. Gary just answered Joey and Giraffe's challenge, got us down to 7:39, and then got us down to 7:09. So we're at 7:09 now for a Horn Family Community Congregation, Community Made Miracle, and keeping me in health insurance for next month. So thank you. Thank you, Gary. Thank you so very much indeed.
No problem, Robert.
Hey, you're in there. Cool. Yeah. Glad to hear from you.
Yeah. My wife arranged for me to go down to see my daughter down at Fayetteville, North Carolina here over Memorial Day. So I'll be driving by Beckley here in May.
Well, stay safe by all means.
Yeah, I will. I lived in Texas for 10 years, so I can handle North Carolina.
Well, this will start a fight, but I tend to think North Carolina has better barbecue, unless you're counting brisket.
Well, yeah. Okay, I've had the North Carolina barbecue, the vinegar stuff.
I love it.
It's not bad.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff, because last time I was down there, my son-in-law's father made some of the Carolina barbecue. It was good.
Yeah, I'm not into the thick and sticky, sweet barbecue sauce. I like spicy heat and tang. Not the drink of the astronauts, mind you.
Well, yeah, I know. Like, being down in Texas, you know, I like that too, but I kind of like both of them. You know, it's get to say one or another, you know, just go back and forth. But being from Illinois, there is no such thing as Illinois barbecue. So,
you know, I saw a Bourdain episode one time, Gary, where in fact he did find. That's an interesting noise. He did find decent barbecue somewhere in the burbs of Chicago.
Oh yeah, I mean it's usually either like a Texas barbecue or like a Tennessee barbecue or something like that. There's no. Illinois is famous for pizza. Chicago's famous for pizza and hot dogs. You know, so.
I don't want to spend $30.
Oh, and thank you to Jeremy. I'm having trouble. Apparently, I'm not getting my PayPal notifications in good order. But we are now down to, we've crossed under the $700 mark. We are down to $684. Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Wait. And Steve and Miss Karen, little Cletus, took us down to 664. We're on the way. Thank you, Steve.
That's for suffering through my bludgeon the mouse with the office trash can story. Thank you.
Well, I can. It's going
it's
toward
therapeutic.
It's going toward my health insurance premium. It certainly will not go toward dinner after the program. I can guarantee you.
It's very therapeutic. I got to process this somehow, you know.
Oh, damn. Market it. Just, you know, order some ordinary wire mesh garbage cans and sell them as mouse bludgeons. Mouse hammers.
It's funny you say that because there's an old story, and you've probably heard this, where there a man advertised a roach killer, and he says it's guaranteed 100% to work. And all it was a block of wood with a hammer.
Yep. And, you know, it does.
Yeah, it's guaranteed to work. Wait for wood roach to crawl on wood, beat it with a hammer. You won't be dead.
Yeah, I use a hammer, too.
If I'd have had one. Oh, boy.
How does this happen? How does this happen? But well,
I don't know. Well, I guess I need to save my
no further
at the end of the program.
No further plumbing horrors, though, right? We're
no further plumbing horrors. Is after the snake and the hose and the rainbow and the roof cypress gardens. No, called the guy.
It was enough.
That was enough.
Oh, Jesus. Let's bounce around the room a little bit. Steve New York's had his hand up for a while.
Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Yeah. As I posted in the chat, I'm pretty close to becoming similar to a Janus, a giant monk. I won't kill cockroaches because they're alive. I won't kill anything because it's alive. So you're probably a little surprised that Mr. Contrarian here, Mr. Whatever the fuck I am, has kind of a super ultra liberal. I'm not quite sure what I am. I also posted in the chat that now I need to figure out. I need to square my love of pork and chicken and all food from the halal truck. It's a block away from my apartment. I almost got in a fight with this guy the other night, last night. So I'm at the halal truck. All I want is my chicken and rice and my little salad and the white sauce on there. And these two guys come up. One guy, I don't know. He was probably Guyanese because my neighborhood has a lot of Guyanese people. and he had no mask on, and he was just being a real dick, and he was, I don't know, talking something about with his friend, something about the P word, and ah ha ha ha, you know, the P word, and
polygamy.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure.
He starts saying the P word, and the two guys who were in the truck are most likely Muslim. And you know, I was standing there getting ready to leave, and they put some white sauce on it, and I said, "Yeah, put white sauce on mine." And the guy says to me, "White cop?" I said, "No, I'm not a white cop. I said white sauce." And he starts saying his P word stuff, and I said, "Dude, be respectful. Just be respectful."
Was he loaded?
I have no idea. I don't give a shit. Can I just tell you something? When I was much younger, I used to look at people who were 50 years old or older and say, boy, those people, they don't give a shit. They'll just say anything. They don't think rules apply to them. And I've taken on that mantle. And I said to the guy, I said, be respectful. Show some respect to this person. I don't even, and he starts getting up in my grill and yada, yada, yada. And he started walking away. And I said, he's like, what are you walking away? Why don't you? And I said, I ain't got time for you.
Oh no! When a nice boy from Ohio starts using the ain't word, you know it's getting serious.
Yeah, I said I ain't got time for you. And his friend came over and was pulling, you know, holding him back from coming after me. I'm thinking to myself, and I turned around. And I said to him, I said, really, you're gonna hit a 50-year-old man, really? And that little part of me wanted him to do something, because I played hockey for 30 years. I was a goalie. I took pucks to the nuts. When I was in elementary school and I played goalie, I had a high school coach. We had a coach from high school. He took a slap shot and broke my pinky finger, and I still played. So I ain't afraid of people like this.
Is that a punk band, Pucks to the Nuts?
Oh, it's my nuts where I took a puck to the nuts. And I just, let me tell you what, and you and I talked about this, Robin, and I've actually talked to my therapist about this. I need to really, she says you need to stop with being a vigilante. But when I see some young...
You're not Charles Bronson.
You're right, I'm not. I'm not going to try to kill some white buffalo. I just can't take it when people treat other people who have businesses, small businesses, people in McDonald's and other retail establishments and carryouts. I can't take it when they treat them disrespectfully. It's like you went up to ask this, you were going to ask this guy for food, and you're talking about the P word, and oh, I want some P word, and yet, and I thought, man, and all I said, be respectful. Just stop show some respect. And that little part of me was like, please, please come after me. Please come after me, because I will fucking beat the shit out of you, and I will stand over you, and I will look at you in your face and say, yeah, you go back and tell your peeps that some 50-year-old fag beat the shit out of you. You go right ahead and do that.
Steve.
No, listen, Robin. Look, I'm, for the most part, a extremely nonviolent person. But I will not back down from anybody. Anybody.
You remind me of the line from The In-Laws, where General Garcia says, "I am a man of peace with a deep-seated Quaker belief in the sanctity of human life. It is a pity I have no choice but to kill you."
I need to write that down.
Oh, you need to watch The In-Laws. What you need to do. Oh, okay. So I've got a zoology question of the avian variety from Nidia. Nidia.
For me?
No, for anybody who knows this sort of thing. Since tonight's discussion has involved the intrusion of critters into human abodes, I wanted to share my story, which doesn't involve a beating or death. Well, that's a plus. I have an apparent polygamist robin. It is not, I don't know nothing about, I've never even pled, I've got two spouses and it's mighty bigamy. That ain't me. I've never done that. But Nydia has apparently a polygamist robin who has built 6 nests on her porch. If any of the community can provide some insight on this unusual circumstance, please advise. And she has provided, and yes, there are 6 this is a busy robin. Yeah. Polygamous songbirds. Who knew?
Sounds like a Republican family values robin.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe the robin flew in from Utah.
Oh, you know what?
Maybe the maybe the robin's name is Willard.
God. Can I just tell you, you know, you're just, this whole hillbilly elite is sophisticated, you know.
Yeah, sophisticated, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I want to talk about this ADA thing, because I'm going to have to go on mute for a while, because I'm still working.
Okay.
Who is that who's running a vacuum or has a really bad connection?
It's just a bad connection, yeah.
Okay. Title II of the ADA governs disabilities for access to public accommodations. Actually, not public accommodations, but public government buildings. Title III is public accommodations. The thing about the ADA, there's three standards for determining whether a person is disabled. It's whether they're actually disabled, whether they're perceived to be disabled, or they were disabled in the past. And I'm thinking about this, and like, they would, these, the folks who would need water, who would need nourishment, otherwise, or they may collapse. I think you could argue that the perception was that they suffered, that they were disabled, and that you could bring an action under the ADA.
Disabled in the moment.
Correct.
Or, you know, if the example that I used, if they suffer hypoglycemia standing in line, then, you know, that kind of diabetes might well be a disabling condition.
And you know what the real kicker is? It's the way the law reads is it's a physical or mental impairment for which a reasonable accommodation would render them no longer disabled. What that means is the real kicker is they would have, and if the state says you can't give this person who's hypoglycemic or whatever anything to keep them from being disabled, then you're liable.
Well, and what about, there's that, but there's an even older defense in tort, and I think it might even apply to the criminal law. What about the Good Samaritan rules? Isn't it, when you're serving in the position of a Good Samaritan, in other words, coming to someone's rescue, your criminal and civil liabilities are extremely circumscribed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically like you tried to help somebody. You're not liable for any civil damages. But I thought that meant as to the person you're helping.
It's all, but I think it's also as to third parties.
Okay.
Can I say something real quick, guys? I think you're talking about a necessity defense. So it was necessary for you to render aid for somebody because otherwise they were going to pass out or, you know, suffer serious physical injury or harm.
Actually, you know, Rick, I have a much more technical term for it.
Yeah?
My technical term is, fuck you, I dare you to arrest me defense.
Well, I don't know that we saw with Representative Cannon last night that they don't take too kindly to that down. And when a sheriff's deputy in Georgia is willing to grab an elected member of the Georgia House of Representatives by the throat.
But you're forgetting something. You're forgetting the most important element here.
And that is?
I'm white.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's true, but I've seen...
This is one of those times when I would use my white privilege to my advantage. If I saw some 85-year-old African-American woman who needed water, and somebody tried to say to me, you can't give them water, I'd be like, you fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. You want to arrest me? Fine. You arrest me. But I'm giving her a big bunch of shit of water. Go arrest me. Go right ahead.
And then you march into court and carry the appeal forward. Yeah. And I have seen an elderly woman dumped out of a wheelchair in the capital of the state of West Virginia back when we were going to protest Joe Manchin. And speaking of Joe Manchin, and thank you, Jessica, we've got 6:80 to go. I got a note here. The continuing story of Fuck Joe Manchin Challenge. Hey, Robin, lady of my dreams, since Manchin continues... Oh, that's just sweet. Since Manchin continues to threaten to block every meaningful piece of legislation, and seriously, who the fuck is he anyway? That's such a Pittsburgh thing to say. Who the fuck is he anyway? I'm putting up a $100 challenge because fuck him with a red-hot poker. Just fuck him. Now that I got that out of my system, hope you and yours are having a lovely day and a wonderful spring. Well, thank you. That's from our pal Rico in the budding Berg. Thank you. Thank you, Rico. So we've got a $100 challenge on the table that would get us down to, if met, it would get us down to $480, which would mean everything but $180 of yesterday and today's... Today's amount. Thank you, Rico. Thank you so kindly. I hope folks will jump in on the Fuck Joe Manchin Challenge. And, of course, with every response to the Fuck Joe Manchin Challenge, that arrives with a declaration by yours truly of Fuck Joe Manchin. Okay? So hopefully we'll get that. And God, it would be great because I'm not trying to be puny or anything, but... I really want to keep this health insurance. I do. I just do. And sorry about that.
Nothing puny about you, by the way.
Well, not in terms of size and girth, but puny has multiple meanings here in Appalachistan.
You know what? Okay, you know what? This whole...
I know. You don't like my hillbilly elitist sophisticate lady thing.
Because you know... Madam Art of Word Knowing, although I got you on your Jaron versus...
Oh, you did. You owned me. Absolutely. But thank you, Rico, and hopefully it will be quickly responded to because we got about an hour and 12 minutes to knock out that whole community-made miracle level. Wait. In response to Nidia's polygamous Robin... Lee says, the polygamous Robin, it just keeps bobbing along. God, I was hoping that wouldn't happen, but it's too much to hope for when you got people like Lee in New York in your community. Okay, is this one of those awkward silences? Somebody came into the room as a guest, and I wasn't trying to be rude. I muted them because they were very, very their connection was really, really noisy. And you're certainly welcome back in, and we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to come back, or if it's easier for you, remember we've always got the stress line 844-843 1-866-844-THE-HORN, and that'll get you into the conversation, too. So that works. Oh, that's great. Thank you, Matt, in San Francisco. Subject line, Red Hot Poker. Well, anytime Joe Manchin, fuck, and Red Hot Poker appear in the same sentence, I'm in for $10. Thank you, Matt, and fuck Joe Manchin. So there's $90 to go on Rico's challenge. Thank you, Matt. Thank you so very much. And that's true. Anytime, yeah. That's not just true. That's cowbell. Anytime Joe Manchin, fuck, and Red Hot Poker appear in the same sentence, yes. Thank you. Thank you so very much, Matt. That's just wonderful.
Yeah, I'd like to give an anti-shout-out.
Yes?
To Canada. And here's my anti-shout-out. Canada has completely fucked up the vaccine rollout. It's gone much better here and pretty much everywhere in the world other than there. My partner, who lives in Canada, probably won't even dream of getting a vaccine until September.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
you know, and I think, look, I and you and I, Robin, we've actually exchanged messages about this. Even though I just gave an anti shout out to Canada. And I don't blame Justin Trudeau. I blame the Harper government because he was the one who got rid of the vaccine manufacturing capability in Canada. But they've really fucked it up. But on the flip side, and you and I have talked about this, and you talked about our president's press conference, I continue to be pleasantly surprised and impressed with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. And one of the things that I really like about what Biden's doing, and look, I'm willing to give him some slack on the foreign policy shit because he's only been there for 65 days.
Yeah, but there's a foreign policy story out there, Steve, that's actually pretty... Well, it goes to show that what his years as vice president for two terms and his years in heading the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Senate, Foreign Relations, mean when somebody like that gets into the White House. He has invited, and you know, I want to say this takes some chutzpah. He has invited Xi Jinping and huggable, lovable, cuddleable, snuggleable Vlad Putin to a summit on, wait for it, climate change. That broke just before airtime, and I thought, damn.
Damn, that's some pretty... I agree with you. I want to see some real movement on Yemen. And I want to see some real movement on telling the Saudis to go fuck themselves on Yemen. But look, like I said, we're only 65 days in.
Yeah, right. And Rome was not built in a day.
But I will tell you this, and again, this is something you and I have texted and emailed about. It cannot be understated that Trump truly dismantled, not just dismantled, but destroyed an awful lot of the various mechanisms in our government.
Absolutely. Remember the stated goal of Steve Bannon.
Yep. Destroy the administrative state.
Destroy and the executive branch runs. The executive branch is the administrative state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they were, I think we will find out, far more successful than even those of us who were paying close attention thought.
Oh, I think you're right. Now, look, let's be honest here. If a year from now, a lot of the shit that we're pointing out is still happening, then I will be the first one, or actually the second, and you will be the first one to say, look, Joe, you've had a year. We at least need to see some progress. And if we haven't seen progress, then we will be pushing Joe to do the right thing. But I just, this is not, and again, this is something you and I texted about. This is not the same. This is not the same Biden who seemed to have such bad political instincts before spending 8 years as Obama's vice president. This is a completely different person. I don't know what it is.
It's what I keep saying.
Yes. And let me tell you what else it is. Remember, I think Michelle Obama or President Obama said this, is that the presidency, it magnifies or amplifies a person's values.
Yes.
And I think what has happened is this is, I went back and looked, I didn't listen to the whole press conference, and I was listening to it today. And I'm going to tell you something. When he talked about unions and what unions
that knocked did, my socks off yesterday.
Yeah. I was only listening to it. I wasn't watching it because I generally speaking like to listen rather than watch things because of the Kennedy Nixon effect. He actually raised his voice and said, "Listen, it's the unions that built the middle class and the middle class that built the unions." And I had to stop what I was doing and go back and actually watch it. And I'm gonna tell you. And you've said, any number of people on the horn have said this, excuse me. This is as viscerally pro-labor a president, frankly, that I've heard in my lifetime. I mean, I was born in 71. So
no, I have never heard anything like this, ever.
I mean, the way he supported the hero, and I'm calling them heroes and heroines down in Bessemer. I haven't heard that before.
No, nor I.
So
and I hope that buys him a lot of goodwill in 2024. I hope that has organized labor out on the streets. But because I am a little ray of sunshine. Mm-hmm. I would be remiss if I did not point out that there are still way, way, way too many. And you can ask local leaderships. You can ask the national leadership, statewide. They'll all tell you the same thing if they're good Democrats, that there are way too many maggots in their midst or in their rank and file, and that's on the unions to educate away from. To educate out of. But no president, you're absolutely right, Steve, no president in my lifetime has ever sounded like that.
And look, that coming from the top gives an awful lot of union folk a second wind to say, shit, we got somebody in a real position of power who has our back. I honestly, like you've said a million times, I have a bunch of times said to myself, wait a minute, is this the Joe Biden that I so loathed and lamented a year and a half ago?
Yeah, I have no problem admitting I was wrong, and even a progressive as with the street cred that. Will Rivers Pitt has, and I mean he takes no backseat to any progressive. He wrote something in the last day or so. Our pal Joy in Ann Arbor shared it with me. He quoted Axios. President Biden recently held an undisclosed East Room session with historians that included discussion of how big is too big and how fast is too fast to jam through once in a lifetime historic changes to America. The historian's views were very much in sync with his own. It is time to go even bigger and faster than anyone expected. If that means chucking the filibuster and bipartisanship, so be it. People chose Biden to tell us he's feeling bullish on what he can accomplish and is fully prepared to support the dashing of the Senate's filibuster rule to allow Democrats to pass voting rights and other trophy legislation for his party. I object to the use of that term, trophy legislation, but that's Axios. And Will Rivers Pitt, who, like I said, supports progressive candidates, progressive ideas, progressive policies, said it's like the union between that famous Harry Truman quote and an Onion headline. Area man turns around, finally sees who is hitting him on head. Go, Joe. Win first. Improve their lives and wait for the light bulb moments to start flashing all over the country. People have been so down for so long, they've forgotten what up is. Show them. Leave no doubt. And I thought that was just powerful as could be.
Yeah, look, he has brought the Bernie slash Warren side of the party together with, dare I say, the Joe Manchin side.
And the Joe Manchin side is on the damn defensive. That's the telling thing.
Yeah, and you know who else is on the defensive? Moscow Mitch. You don't think... Look, there is a reason that he used that term scorched earth, which is nothing more than, you know, getting rid of the filibuster, that's nothing more than democracy. Because Mitch is fucking scared that even if they don't get rid of the...
Yeah, he'll find out what it felt like to be Harry Reid or Chuck Schumer.
Yep.
And he doesn't want to feel that.
He doesn't want to feel that.
I'll bring on our whoever's on the stress line right now, but I want to play a piece right now. I happened to wake up way too early this morning, so I caught all of my filthy morning habit.
And it is becoming increasingly filthier, by the way.
This is one of those moments when all the credit goes to the production staff there. Somebody was up a long time pulling these quotes together, these clips, and it is absolutely damning. What we have here are clips butted up against each other, side by side, Biden, Trump, Biden, Trump, Biden, Trump. And I'm just going to play it because I thought it was so absolutely emblematic of what the difference is between those two. And by the way, we're started on Rico's Fuck Joe Manchin with a red hot poker challenge. No, really, Fuck Joe Manchin. We're $10 into that, and it would be great to get the other 90 because we've crossed into the third hour, and we are a long, long, long damn way away from a community made miracle, and we need it because like I said. This is for healthcare, and I rather value it. So here's that just genius clip.
I can say to you, the American people, help is here, and hope is on the way.
I just want to let you know, I inherited a mess.
I can't guarantee we're going to solve everything. But I can guarantee we can make everything better.
There has never been a presidency that's done so much in such a short period of time.
We have to come together. We have to.
I certainly didn't win by people listening to you people. That's for sure.
Am I giving you too long an answer? Because if you don't want the detail.
Russia is fake news. Russia, this is fake news put out by the media.
I'm also prepared for some form of diplomacy.
The greatest thing I could do is shoot that ship that's 30 miles offshore right out of the water.
When I took office, I decided that it was a fairly basic, simple proposition. And that is, I got elected to solve problems.
I do get good ratings, you have to admit that.
All I know, I've been hired to solve problems. To solve problems, not create division.
Are you going to include the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional
Hispanic
Caucus?
Well, I would. I tell you what. Do you want to set up the meeting? Do you want to set up the meeting?
No.
Are they friends of yours? No, set up the meeting.
I know some of them, but I'm sure
they're watching. Let's go set up a meeting.
But what I know I have now is I have electoral support from Republican voters.
I put it out before the American people, got 306 Electoral College votes. I guess it was the biggest Electoral College win since Ronald Reagan.
My predecessor. Oh, God, I miss him.
Is that beautiful or what? I mean, that's the difference. That's all of it. A barely human being, absolutely obsessed with himself, who has never done anything all his life except run his filthy gob and self-promote and knows how to do nothing else, versus a president who prepares and actually wants to be a good president for everybody in this country. And I have a feeling it's going to yield profound dividends. And the only people left are going to be the hard cases and dead enders of the maggot right, sitting around grunting about the fact that he actually had a policy briefing manual with him yesterday. Look at that. He can't do nothing without no notebook. He got a notebook. Jesus. But them maggots sure ran out and cashed those checks, didn't they? Right? And by the way, who's on the stress line there?
Dave in the blind, Robin.
Hey, Dave, how are you, my friend?
I talked to Christine this afternoon. She had a stroke. That's what happened to her.
Dear God.
She's doing well. I sent her all you and the Horns love and told her about all the people that have come around and asked about her and are pulling for her, and she was genuinely touched. The good thing is she can speak fairly clearly.
Good.
They're starting physical therapy with her today, and they're going to do another EEG and MRI to make sure they didn't miss anything. So they're going to start her therapy, and she said, I'm working to get out of here. And I know with Christine, that means she wants to be at home with her fuzzy kids. And she wants to get back to some normal life. I teased her. I said, well, that ramp you've been talking to them about building, you'll probably need the VA to build it now. So I'm glad if this had to happen, it happened at a time when we've got an actual president who's willing to address these kinds of things.
Oh, my God, that is some 200-proof truth.
You know, and I think one of the reasons we're so impatient about what he's getting done and how fast he's getting it done is because nothing had gotten done for the last 4 years. You know, compared to the other guy, he's done 8 years worth of work in the first 2 months. I mean, what the hell? And yet they still want to pitch and complain.
He's done 8 years of work in 2 months. Hang on. Yep, Dave, absolutely.
And I don't know. As far as the ADA, I was thinking the way you approach the Georgia law about not giving food and water to voters in line is if, let's say I was a voter in Georgia and I received food or water from an EMT who was not on duty, I think it could be argued that they were operating in their professional capacity and were rendering medical assistance. And if worse came to worse, their attorney could raise the ADA as a possible defense because they're helping the state of Georgia deal with their public accommodations clause?
No.
Yeah, we're getting a no from the legal community. Yeah, it's not raised as a defense. It's you raise the ADA as an affirmative cause of action.
Okay.
You use it as a weapon, not a shield.
You bring this up so that it's known that this is just a throwaway thing. I can see the maggots using this to attack the ADA. Because if you do raise it in court, then
they've hated the ADA since the moment it was signed into law.
There was a Republican president who put his political clout on the line for it.
But I remember.
I mean, I don't agree with George H.W. much, but on that I did.
But I do remember Rush Limbaugh, who incidentally is still dead, opining.
Thank God.
Opining back then, my friends, this is communism. This is simply communism in America. The Americans with Disabilities Act is nothing short of a leftist plot to destroy our country. I kid you not.
This coming from a known drug addict.
Well, I don't think he was out as a junkie quite yet, but back then. But yeah,
that's sort of like a certain turtle walking on two legs, and having polio attacking the ADA.
Yeah,
because by God, he can get help, but nobody else should.
Well, he deserved it, don't you understand? I mean, he's Mitch McConnell. And
he's a disgrace.
Oh, yeah, he is. And, you know, margin call, right? I have thanks I need to send out, and they're huge thanks. They're big thanks. Fuck Joe Manchin, 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 fuck Joe Manchin. Thank you, Mark. Mark has just taken us down to only $23 to go to finish yesterday's funding, and then we've got tonight. So there's $323 left to go in fundraising on toward a community-made miracle. We've got about 45-plus minutes to get that done. And if we do, we are, you know, basically we're $323 away from, I hate to talk about it like this, but from, you know, from my health insurance premium. And it's so, so very kind of you, Mark. Thank you so very much. In fact, speaking of health insurance, our buddy Tom in sunny San Rafael said, a good thing about health insurance. On a family Zoom last week, my sister-in-law in Connecticut, hi, Darlene, showed her husband's latest health insurance bill. He's on Medicare with some supplemental plan. He's been fighting leukemia and hasn't gotten to the stem cell transplant yet. His year-to-date copay was something like $275, and the amount paid by the insurance that doesn't include what Medicare pays was, drumroll, $8,166,000, and I don't remember the hundreds and cents. Breathtaking. Tom says, I wish I could do more to help than my monthly, but I'm a little worried that I shouldn't have retired for another year or two. Don't worry. Enjoy that retirement, Tom, and thank you so much for everything you do. There's no such thing as need to do more. No, thank you. And that's what it... That is... Tom used exactly the right word. It is breathtaking in terms of what it can mean in the most profound life-saving terms. I mean, the fact that I have health insurance now means that I've got a fighting chance at not going into insulin-dependent diabetes, and I can take advantage of, you know, programs within the policy for, you know, good health and all of that, and lose what I need to lose and get stronger, faster. We have the technology, all of that. That's what it means. And in fact, Charlene in Rogues Island said, I know what it's like to sweat health insurance premiums. I used to be self-employed with a Hodgkin's lymphoma history. Now I have Medicare. It feels like I made it across the finish line. And says, sending $100 your way. Best to you, Robin. Thank you, Charlene. From Rogues Island, thank you. Thank you so very much, and that means we're down to 223. 223 for a community-made miracle. Thank you, Charlene. I can never thank you all enough for all you do to keep this program on the air and the people who do the program on the planet. Thank you. Thank you indeed. And I know that's just wholly inadequate, but my God, thank you. And Dave in the Blind, Darlene in Connecticut says, thank goodness you talked to Christine. It sounds so good that she's alert and talking. Congratulations. And Christine will be strong, and Christine will work at her rehab. And we're looking, Dave, to hear more and more good things as she recovers. We're all so very glad. Ah, damn it. David in South Carolina stances, subject line, vax. Had to reschedule because the car broke, so now getting the first dolly dose next Wednesday. Well, you'll get your first dolly after, or a day before Agnes and I get our ouchie doocy. So congratulations on that. And David, I know what you wrote. I know you wrote what you wrote for a reason, and I will respond in kind. Don't ever say your car is broke. That's an inside joke for fans of Jason Isbell and the Drive-By Truckers. Yeah. Yeah. So, let's see. Who have we not? Roger's been awfully silent. Hey, Roger.
Chris.
Howdy. I think I'm coming through.
You're there.
Okay. How about in Georgia, instead of giving food and water, you give bread and wine and call it a sacrament and let them have fun with that?
Oh, isn't that brilliant? Wait a minute. You're violating my rights under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Yeah, these are some stupid, stupid legislators. I mean, they're Republicans, so I repeat myself. But
not only that, you could give them water and bread and say when it gets in their tummy, it's going to turn to wine.
Yeah, absolutely. Freaking genius.
Anyhow, a little update. I'm surprised I'm able to get on because we're kind of on the road here. But I wished I'd taken a picture of Mount Bachelor earlier when I was looking at it today and put it up against Sparky's pictures of Lassen, because Bachelor is still one peak, and it's magnificent white pinnacle going to the sky right now. I'm in sort of central eastern Oregon in what's called the high desert right now, staying at a resort, first time I think I've ever been in one, and all these rich assholes running around without their masks on and going absolutely, it's weird.
But, hey, Roger, did you drive through Crater Lake?
No, we came over from Eugene.
Okay.
Is this just a getaway, Roger?
Well, it's kind of a getaway. The kids and grandkids are, feeling kind of cooped up at the house and all that because they've been working out of their house. And they got two little kids, and we decided it was safe enough to get an Airbnb and get a weekend away kind of number. And also, it's my wife's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday. Tell her for all of us, please.
We're kind of celebrating it with a trip to different scenery. So, anyhow, I'm just listening, hanging around, and having a good time. We're about ready to go up to Bend and see if we can find a restaurant with some outdoor seating with the heat, the things that put heat down so you can sit outside to eat.
Yeah, those are nice.
And
hey, Roger, during the beginning of the pandemic, I went to a brewery there, and I think it's like Bend Brewery. And they had social distancing. They had picnic tables, separate picnic tables laid out close to the river. And I thought they did a pretty darn good job. And this is like a year ago around the same time. So
yeah, there's so damn many breweries.
Huh?
There's so damn many breweries in Oregon. You tell me a brewery in Bend.
No, it's called. He like said it was called Bend Brewery.
I think it's Bend Brewery, and it's very okay. close to. There's a little market there. We stayed the hell out of there, because
there was
no social. There was no social distancing going on at that market, the street market. Everybody was butthole to belly button. There was, run into each other in the booths and stuff. But at the restaurant, it was fine.
Okay, and what was the food? Was it typical pub food? Or?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I can't remember what I had. What I would recommend is if you're not driving, I would get the sampler. As far as the beer sampler, they'll give you something like 6 ounces of each to try, and it's really good. I think you get like six or eight, right?
I'm going to be driving, so
Okay. Well,
relatively
do that,
calm.
Yeah. I might have just got a burger. I can't recall. The food was very good, when I recall, and I was able to bring my dog, so, they had bowls out, and I even got her a chicken breast, so it was a good place. Well, I enjoyed that place.
I was kind of looking at something more fancy than a brew pub kind of number for her birthday.
Right.
So we went to the restaurant here at the Sun River Resort, and they had one of the not super fancy steaks. It wasn't filet mignon. It wasn't porterhouse. It was New York or T-bone or something like that. That's $50 for the steak dinner.
Yeah, shit.
And I'm sorry.
Were you staying right near the golf course there in Sun River?
No, we're in what's called Tennis Village, which is fourplex condominium units.
I think I've stayed there like at least 3 times. And I think it's the same place, but does it
is complex
huge?
Here? Huge
yeah.
complex here.
And does it run? Or the Deschutes River runs right along it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I think I've stayed in that same complex at least 3 times. It's very nice.
And they've got their own private airport, 18-hole golf course.
Yeah, the golf course, right?
The deck at the fancy restaurant. You sit out there and overlook the river and look at Mount Bachelor and all that. But anyhow, speaking of golf courses, I want to know, Rick, when is Rick going to get his condor? Because you can get a birdie, eagle, an albatross, or a condor. So,
right.
When, Rick, are you getting your condor?
Well, don't forget the polygamous robin.
No, the robin's not part of a golf number. Rick's not coming back on that one. I did a little research. Okay, a birdie is when you're one under. An eagle
is 2 under.
Hey, are
you close to the Mellor Bird Refuge by chance?
An albatross is 3 under, and a condor is
okay.
4 under.
Are you going to help up?
Yeah, it's a hole-in-one on a par 5. It's a condor. I got a trivia question for that during our team trivia back like when we used to be able to do trivia in a pub, and that was one of the trivia questions.
So far, Rick's only been crowing about his hole in ones on like a par 3 or something like that. So
yeah, 7 stinking yards or so is all they are, but they still count as hole in ones. It wasn't through the clown's nose either, Robin. Okay.
Okay, you beat me to it.
I got one off the windmill once.
Yeah, there's the windmill. Yeah, right. Oh, and hey, I got a little bit of I got a little bit of breaking news. I have a feeling Darlene will get a giggle out of this. I'm still, and I'm not going to unsubscribe because these are just too much. They're too much comedy gold. Nitwit Nero has apparently pooped his diaper this afternoon, or so he's very upset. It's a 3-sentence. Statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. Somebody has to type that every time he wants to scream or cry. And it always begins, you know, again, he's using the presidential seal that he doesn't have a right to use.
That's a Cracker Jack box, by the way.
Right, Robin. Exactly. And it's monochrome. He can't use it in, I guess they're trying to say, well, you know, we didn't print it in color, so it's not the same thing. And they all begin with the date, March 26th, 2021. Statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. Here's the statement. Now, it's Friday afternoon. This thing came in 6 minutes ago. All right? Friday afternoon, everybody's kind of like, oh, God, it's Friday, you know? Thank God, yeah, thank God it's Friday, right? No, down there. down there at that COVID-infested and halfway shut down the pile of bricks and vermin known as Morris Lizo, Nitwit Nero is unhappy. Where's Durham? Is he a living, breathing human being? Will there ever be a Durham report? That's it. Nothing more. I mean, I when I read it before I shared it with y'all, where's Durham? Well, it's in North Carolina, dumbass. But no. Where's Durham?
Bull Durham?
John Durham. You know, the guy who was supposed to continue the investigation into the Russia hoax.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think we've moved on. Who cares about that, you know?
Yeah, right. You know, Donnie, and this is a favorite phrase in corporate America. You might be familiar with it. Donnie, we've decided to go in a different direction.
It's like the Bobs from Office Space. We need to send them down to Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, God.
That report will be in the National Archives drawing dust pretty soon.
Oh, and did you happen to catch, and I kind of hate talking about him, but if at this point in time, it just has comedy value. Can we agree on that?
Yes, very much so.
Because Joe Biden had a press conference yesterday, he called up Fox. You got to get me on. I'll phone it in. You know, there he is at that huge resort, and he can't even set up a fucking Zoom call. He has to call in on a regular telephone to Fox News, and they put up a picture of him, right? I mean, really old school. And he calls in.
Is it the one where he's in windy conditions with the
No, it's the one where he's going up the stairs to Air Force One and has toilet paper on his shoe.
Paper needs to be in the Smithsonian, by the way.
Oh, that's a cowbell, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they could just say it's the toilet paper, and you know, nobody'd be the wiser. But he called in last night and said, Maria Bartiromo or one of those idiots, and was complaining about
why are they, so many people are being treated so unfairly. That was Antifa on January the 6th. That was definitely Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Definitely.
Like I said, comedy value. That's all. And I'm excited to announce that we are $198 away from a community-made miracle and fully funding this week. Thank you so much, Mark, our second Mark. Thank you, Mark, so very kindly for getting us down to $198. We're $198 from fully funding this program, and that's magnificent, and that'll just mean we got 3 days and 3 days left in March to fill. So thank you, Mark. Thank you so very kindly. $198. So close.
And Friday called in to Laura Ingraham.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Frau Ingraham. Yeah, not Maria Bartiromo. And do you think that these Fox News people ever go off the air and go, Jesus Christ, the things I do for money? Yeah, just leave it. Just leave it on the nightstand, Rupert. Oh, God.
You know, Zoom calls are not the easiest thing to set up. I've tried the last 2 days to set them up, and I've totally failed
But it doesn't. But it doesn't have to be Zoom. I mean, when I was on when I was on All In with Chris Hayes a few weeks back, we did Skype. Wasn't a problem.
That
I mean, he's Donald J. Trump millionaire. He owns a mansion and a yacht. And he can't afford a $600 audio interface, a $400 microphone, and an iPad? Really?
I think the AV club at Mar-a-Lago all got COVID.
I mean, you can do FaceTime with an iPhone.
Yeah. And I think he's got one.
I see all these sports stars doing FaceTime with when they go on the shows.
That's true. That's true. There's ways of doing it. You just have to have somebody who's somewhat tech savvy, you know?
Well, I mean, not even that much tech savvy, for God's sakes. Children do this.
I know, but we're older, Robin.
I mean, he's calling into Fox News. They got people's tech savage on that end.
Yeah, they got tech savages.
Walking through.
Michael Savage.
Wait a minute. I don't get a cowbell for tech savage.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. The savage wiener.
Yeah.
You get the cowbell, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, go out and find me a tech savage. I'm tired of just calling on the phone.
He's got an iPhone. It's got fucking FaceTime. The Fox can take FaceTime.
Takes too long to do my hair.
Motherfucker, do you know how long it took to do my makeup for Chris Hayes? God damn.
Well, he wears a baseball, that stupid Make America Great hats all the time, so.
Yeah. Well, Ivanka's not there to do his hair anymore. She's in New York now, Robin, okay? Come on.
Yeah, she said it took 2.5 hours.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, every time you see him now, he's wearing a hat.
Oh, that's maybe, I don't know, maybe they took him off the Propecia. Because, you know, when you stop those hair regrowth formulas, you know what happens? All the dihydrotestosterone comes back and your hair falls back out. Once you start, you can't stop. Don't give him any ideas, Matt in San Francisco says. I'm thankful 45 hasn't figured out how to use an iPhone. True. I mean, and maybe he doesn't have an iPhone anymore because, well, I mean, once they should.
I was only using it for Twitter, and I don't have Twitter anymore.
God, that really does sound like an aging bubbles, and now I'm going to get hate mail from Darlene again.
I don't have Twitter
maybe
anymore.
Maybe it's been confiscated for evidence.
What? Where are my kitties? They took. I left them Cat Food Mountain.
Oh, God, I love that. And, thank you. Thank you very kindly to Ralphs and Brian. Ralphs took us down to 188, and Brian just took us down to 138. So that's huge. $138 to go to finish the wind sprint, the 28-minute wind sprint we have remaining, $138. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Ralphs. And Ralphs reminds us of something, because this is a... Oh, and Lee in New York said, Donnie, we've decided to go in a different direction. Lee said, up! Yeah. Oh, God, I love these conversations on Fridays. And now, Ralphs sent along a story. Midas Touch. Remember they produced a bunch of videos during the campaign? Good stuff, too.
Yeah, well, they still put out videos.
Yeah, they do. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene had to pay him $10,000. Marjorie Trader Greene cue ball. Because she lost in a lawsuit against them. Because she blocked Midas Touch. She blocked Midas Touch on Twitter, and the law says that as a public servant, she can't do that. And so naturally, this is what I meant when I told Dave in Talibandiana earlier to tell the boys down at the shop to get ready, because she's pogo sticking right up onto the cross, because she paid the ten large, and said, because of this PAC's frivolous lawsuit against me, I'm not allowed to block people that threaten my life and my children's lives every single day on social media. Midas Touch has never threatened her life on social media, ever, because they're smart. And they're bragging about donating the money to organizations that will take away my guns. Yeah, you know what? They need to sue her again, because she just defamed them.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to ask that, Robin. Can they do another defamation lawsuit against her for saying what she just said?
And she was on a multi-tweet. She was on a multi-tweet binge, and she said, "So I couldn't defend myself and my children when people show up to murder us like they threaten. This pack is celebrating that a woman, me." I love that part. I'm going to use that from now on in my tweets when I say a woman (parentheses) me. This pack is celebrating that a woman, me, can't block people that want to kill me and my kids. What an accomplishment for them. Mm-hmm. And all
the snowflakes are flying fast.
Oh, she has such a little maggot sad going on right now. Midas Touch said, "We've settled our lawsuit against Marjorie Taylor Greene. She will pay $10,000 for our legal fees and is no longer allowed to block the public on Twitter. We will donate the $10,000 savings to Moms Demand Action and Ribbons for Jamie, two organizations pushing for common sense gun reform." They're going to murder us like they... Nobody's threatened them. We're freaking lefties, okay? We don't do that. I mean, the Symbionese Liberation Army disbanded a while back. I mean, a couple of decades or four. And all they did was rob a bank with Patty Hearst. God, she's an idiot.
You know what we do, Robin? We lie down on a bridge for 8 minutes and 48 seconds. That's what we do.
Yeah. And of course, Jesus is sad with her because Jesus believes in guns. Oh, and by the way, another little piece of news to round out the evening. Law enforcement officials have announced that, in fact, the murderer, the monster in Boulder, purchased his weapon legally. And that meant he legally purchased it. He legally possessed it. And what does that mean, Wayne LaPeter at the National Ruble Association? What does that mean, all you goddamn gun humpers? He was a lawful gun owner. The kind of people the NRA says that they protect. Oops. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But meanwhile,
are they going to pay for his legal defense? The NRA. Since he's a lawful gun, are they going to pay for his legal defense? The NRA.
Well, no, because he didn't buy the insurance policy. They only do that if you buy the sketchy insurance policy, and then they still say we didn't pay. Meanwhile, proving that they are indeed the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, homosexual Christians they claim to be. You remember when the maggots showed up in 2016 with their T-shirts that said, "Trump, fuck your feelings"? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now there's a bit of a Donnybrook brewing in a community down in Florida where... John Strasburger, is now flying a flag that he bought for $17.95 on the Amazon. He bought it online. Maybe he bought it from the Trump store. I don't know. But he paid $17 for it, and he's flying it in his neighborhood, and he's all proud of himself there. He's got his arm crossed while Fox News Channel 4 is interviewing and sticking a wireless microphone out there where it can hear him real good, and he's just sitting there smirking like a bush. And his flag says, "Fuck Biden and fuck you for voting for him." And he said, "I feel the election was stolen. I think the evidence was there to prove it. But right now I'm exercising my right of freedom of speech. And I'm going to fly it. If there was an ordinance, I'd take it down tomorrow. But there's not, so it's going to remain up." And then there's his neighbor, Tony Paparoni. No, really. That sounds like he needs to, I don't know, never mind. Tony Paparoni says, "Well, I talked to the lady, my neighbor. I even said, she said, well, it don't really affect me. It's just the fact that I have small kids and they read it." And I'm like, well, sorry. And Cape Coral's city government said, The city's code does not regulate the content of signs. However, the code does regulate the size and number of signs allowed on private property. So if they put up 100 fuck Biden and fuck you for voting for him flags, we might say something about it. I'm adding all that part. He can have one, though, as long as it's proper size. Mm-hmm. Fuck your feelings, because I'm a Christian Trump supporter. Ye boy. Aren't they just lovely people?
Hey, Robin, I wanted to ask, when Ted Cruz was down there at the Rio Grande, did he find the creature from the Black Lagoon?
No, but he did say that he was harassed by cartels. And he just knew they were cartels. I saw that a little bit earlier. Our pal Beth in Dallas posted about it. We were heckled by cartels. Beth pointing out, Ted knew they were cartels because cartels are notorious for heckling political photo ops. And besides, they could say, "Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries," in Spanish.
Yeah. Hey, Robin, Darlene's got her hand up.
Yeah, hey, Darlene, I'm glad you came in.
Well, you invoked my name like 3 times.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like Beetlejuice, 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 right? Only funner.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I'm actually working. I'm listening, but I'm working. So it's nearing the end of the month, so I'm overwhelmed with grant deadlines and trying to meet them. Even though I just have one client left, thank you, Trump and COVID. But it's been pretty busy. But I figured I'd say hi there to everybody, and figured I would update because I know I'm going to be asked about Buddy.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, let's get him out. He's still on the lam. And apparently that the police officer there, the Plymouth officer who has, they just had a posting on the 10th of March that the police officer, the Plymouth officer who has been trying to capture him has developed a pretty good bond with Buddy.
Aww.
So, so apparently Buddy is kind of warming up to him a little bit, and apparently that famous trailer there with the corral is in the backyard of a person who lives in the area, and they think they're going to be able to capture him soon, but because of the weather, they can't get the pickup truck in there to attach it to the trailer because of the snow and the very soft ground. So they have to wait till the weather improves so that they can haul him to safety down in Florida. But they're still feeding him, and it seems like he's doing fantastical. And then we had Kamala Harris come and visit Connecticut today. She went to New Haven and West Haven. She visited a bunch of children's organizations, and I think she also did some. There was some sort of a celebration or to honor one of our longtime representatives, Rosa DeLauro.
I love that woman.
The really cool thing though is that. She and her many, Secret Service, they went and they got a shit ton of pizzas, and they didn't go to Pepe's. Yay, they went to Sally's. Hooray. They got a whole, and there's a whole article here that they went to Sally's a pizza. They did not go to Pepe's, not Modern Pizza, not Zuppardi's or Mike's or Ernie's, Dayton Street. They went to Sally's, and they even listed what they got, which is just ridiculous. They got like four pepperoni pizzas, 2 garden specials, 1 with a bunch of random toppings, 4 sausage, mushroom, and onions, 2 plain with sauce and garlic, which also had onions, 2 fresh tomato whites, and 1 plain potato well-baked. And then there was a staff favorite that they also got 2 of those. a Ray's special sausage pepperoni, and a Bella's special, plus two secret pies. Nobody knows what the hell that is. They're a secret. So they really loaded up on the pizzas.
Wow, national security secret?
That is, yeah, national security secret. That's a huge order. But I think it's really cool that she went to Sally's, which they're trying to say it's because, you know, it's named after a woman, and she's the first woman VP, and instead of going to Pepe's, you know, like Pepe Le Pew or right. You know, the other Pepe that we don't.
They're canceling so Pepe's. They think he's a skunk. It's cancel culture, I tell you.
Probably so, but that was the big deal today in our state. You know, I know she takes a close second to Buddy, but there you go.
So no, that's a big deal. Well, I knew, yeah, and I knew, cool. I saw your laughter. I knew you'd enjoy the John Durham press release.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious. You know, he's got nothing. Durham's got nothing. He's been awfully quiet, and he's like one of those stealth kind of people that, you know, I guess he's a special counsel who can't be nixed.
Well, but Darlene, wasn't there some point in which there was a photo op or something where former president Shit for Brains was actually photographed in the company of John Durham, or am I misremembering?
I don't recall that, but could be. Who knows? Probably.
Because that, you know, that line about that line about
is he a living, breathing human being?
I mean,
that's a hint.
Yeah, what is he? Think he's the Tooth Fairy or something? I mean,
I think it's one of those wink, wink, nod, nods. You know, that he's kind of famous for there. That, you know, where Trump like gets his message across without really coming right out and saying it, which is why he's been able to get away with so many crimes and everything else, because it's what he is. It's sort of the implication, like his former attorney there, Michael Cohen said or testified to in front of Congress. So yeah, probably one of those things. Where did he say that again?
He ain't getting away with anything yet.
What's that, Darlene?
Where did he say that? Trump.
He issued an official statement of Donald J. Trump, 45th president of the United States.
Through whom?
Through his press office. Yeah. And you know, okay. I guess Jason Miller is the one who's in charge of all of that shit for him down there now. And did you see the Jason Miller story, Darlene?
I did not. No.
It turns out all those maggots are just miserable assholes. But this guy's even bigger. He has been called out, caught, whatever. He's a deadbeat dad. And the court ordered him to pay child support. But he's pled all along that he doesn't have the money to pay it. And so the Guardian did an investigation, and it appears that he lied to the courts in terms of his divorce and child support, because he got paid via what is described as a hastily formed LLC, $500,000 to work as a consultant for this outfit called Tenio, a Republican strategy firm. They fired him. It's a little complicated. They fired him in 2019 after he lost his mind on Twitter and said a bunch of filthy stuff about Jerry Nadler. But they wanted to make sure that they kept him. They publicly fired him, but they kept him on the down low because he could get him in. He could get access to the White House for him. So he signed an agreement with Tenio for the $500,000, and then swanned into a state courtroom in Florida to abate and modify his child support because he claimed he was out of work. The Guardian said the Florida court records show that Miller made other misleading or false statements under oath in the case of his faux firing in multiple instances. He not only falsely portrayed himself as unemployed, but asserted under oath that he could no longer afford to travel to Florida to attend court hearings related to the case and asked a trial in the matter be postponed until he could find work. And then used newspaper stories of his firing as his evidence of his impecuniousness.
Well,
that sounds like a good lawsuit coming now. Yeah.
Like attracts like, you know, another grifter.
Another deadbeat.
Yeah, another deadbeat grifter in Trump's circle of influence, I guess.
And poor,
hey, Darlene, I just wanted to thank you for the update on Buddy the Beefalo, and it sure sounds like we've got a number one summer buddy comedy blockbuster coming.
Oh, Jesus, Chris, that's really cool. Really, Chris, really, is that entirely necessary, Chris?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Like an or a llama, at least.
That
at least
kinda,
a llama.
Okay.
Buddy blockbuster.
All right. I'll take a llama wherever I can get them.
That was a llama yawn, is what that was. That's how much the bell moves when the llama yawns.
Well, I think, you know, I'm having a good feel. I think 2021 is Buddy's year for true freedom.
It may be all of our year. I mean, for the first time in 4 years, I'm feeling a sense of optimism.
Yep. Yep. And I actually sent a message to the White House last night, and I said something along the lines of, I said, JRB, I said, you know, you knocked it out of the park. Congratulations, and keep on trucking, and thank you.
He was just awesome.
Because he was fantastic. I just, everything, his inflections, his even his pauses, everything was just, his timing.
Pitch perfect.
He was perfect. So, you know, and it's such a relief to see that after the trauma of the last 4 years, and listening to this idiot, this, you know, Donald J. Trump, J for jackass. This is just, I'm hoping we can continue to redeem ourselves, in the eyes of the world and make some progress, you know?
Devoutly to be wished. And yes. So, is Rosa DeLauro your member of Congress, Darlene?
No, no, she's not. She's down more towards the southern part of the state. You know, she covers the areas like where Sikorsky is, and so she's in the much more built-up areas of the state.
Because she's been a real champion for women and children. And, you know, yes. She's been an early signer of the AIC Act. So I'm hoping she'll jump back on board.
I'm sure she will. You know, she's just tireless. She's like one of those, I don't know if Megan is around, but she looks like a witch. You know, in a good way.
In a good way, I was going to say. Like, that's a little loaded, Darlene.
I know, but like the witch and the warlocks, you know, like in terms of religious, like their pagan sort of religion. I mean, she really does.
She looks like she could teach a class at Hogwarts.
Yeah. Yes. Especially she dyed her hair purple in the front too recently. But I'm saying, like, I mean that in the highest regard. Like she's of a different level, and just I'm being very inarticulate and I apologize, but she's a good witch.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
She's a good witch.
Well, and you'd like to know that Arnold in PA, who loves him some pizza, said that sounds like a regular order for me on a Friday night at a pizza place.
They ordered like 20 pizzas. They even have a picture of the Secret Service loading these pizzas into the back trunk of a car But that's a shit ton of pizza. So she had a lot of people there. And maybe they were ordering it for the celebration for her, Rosa DeLauro, who is tireless and hyper and just, you know, has just been continually reelected, which is great. You know, we've got some really good senators and representatives. Very, very fortunate.
You've got good representation there. And by the way, Arnold has a theory, Darlene.
Okay.
I'm guessing the secret pizza has pineapple on it because nothing drives people. I've never seen the pineapple on pizza debate. Is, I mean, people will come to blows over the, what the hell is wrong with you, pineapple on pizza? Not pull fresh. Look at it. I happen to like pineapple on pizza. The little pizza joint. Yeah. The little pizza joint over in Fayetteville, Pies and Pints, which is actually a a regional chain now. They've got one with pulled pork, fresh mozzarella, pineapple, and jalapenos. And it's fan-freaking-tastic.
Well, I love Hawaiian pizzas. It's not necessarily my go-to. I have family members that love it, you know, and that's with pineapple and ham. And it's quite delicious. It's a very different taste. It's got that kind of sweet succulence to it.
Yeah.
And then the salty.
Yeah, it's the sweet and the savory together, and what's not to love?
Yeah.
In the case of Pies and Pints, they call that their Cuban pork pie.
Oh, cool. The jalapenos and the Hawaiian. Well, that, you know, I'm wondering if the, pineapple, that's actually very smart because I think pineapple is supposed to mitigate the heat. Like if you could have a jalapeno, like I think, isn't that the case, Robin, where you, if you're like really overheated from eating a jalapeno or something that you can, that pineapple is supposed to cool you right down. It's supposed to.
Is that terpenes? Is that terpenes?
No, that's not terpenes.
Oh, it's not terpenes. What is that scale? Do you know scale?
Yeah, are you talking about the Scoville hotness scale?
Scoville.
There you go. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, but I did read somewhere, I thought that pineapple is, I read somewhere that pineapple is supposed to, help you, like if you're really struggling and you're like coughing and hacking, and I'm not good with the hot stuff, but pineapple's supposed to mitigate it. Just shove some pineapple in your mouth and you're good. That's what. So I'm wondering,
Darlene,
if that's why that.
Donna Summer, huh? Darlene, you're not Donna Summer.
Hot stuff.
Donna. The only thing I heard was Summer.
Let's bring Megan into the conversation because she jumped in when you you invoked her. You conjured her, Darlene.
Megan, you summoned me.
Cool. I don't know what your thoughts are if you are familiar with Rosa DeLauro. She. You know how you look at some people,
and she has purple hair.
Yeah, she has a purple hair. Yes.
Okay, I looked her up. Yeah, she looked more like a hippie to me, honestly.
Well, some people you can look at them, and even I have a friend who insists he's a witch, and he's a man. He's a male. He's like, I'm a witch. I said, you're sure you're not a warlock? No, I'm a witch. So. But she just looks like a witch, and I mean that in a good way. There's certain people you can look at and say, yep, they're a witch. So.
Some people look at me and think that I'm a witch, though.
So. Okay.
Well,
a lot of it has to be, you know, I've never met you, so I don't
know. Okay.
Turn me into a newt. Got better.
But I think we need more witches in Congress. They're doing good things.
Oh, I want, we need a witch president, man. That'd be cool. It'd be fun to see all the evangelicals' heads explode at the same time.
Well, you don't even Megan, you don't even actually have to have one. They'll just say you're one. I mean, they've been calling Kamala Harris a heathen pagan Jezebel for a couple of years now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, oh, they did that to Hillary.
Yeah, she's got the Jezebel spirit.
Yeah, wait till, no, but Robbie, it's going to be a special kind of, you're going to be laughing your rear end off when they
I can't afford that.
Says that. It makes the show epic, man. Come on.
Well, I'd love to see an atheist, you know, who's very prominent and shows a tremendous amount of respect for people's freedom of religion, and I want to see them go after that person.
Ron Reagan Jr. We could use another Reagan. I'll take him. He runs for president.
Not afraid of going to hell. Yeah.
Exactly.
Earther has said not liking Hawaiian pizza is a violation of the Geneva Convention. I thought that was a violation of the Honolulu Convention.
Yeah, I don't think Maisie Hirono would be too happy about that. She's from Hawaii. I'm gonna just mute because I'm hearing feedback. My apologies if I'm.
Oh, no worries. It's time to get out of here anyway. And I thank you all. It absolutely amazes me that we got to within $138 of the fundraising for the entire week, and you know, hope then, you know, maybe by Monday we'll knock out the rest of it, and I'm going to go and pay a health insurance premium. So thank you so very much indeed, and thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air so very much. Thank you, for the challenge to Joey and Giraffe, and thank you to Rico. Thank you. Thank you. I can never thank you enough. And thanks to everyone who responded. It makes such a difference. It truly does. And it takes a great weight off of my mind from week to week. And I think that makes for a little bit better program when I'm not sitting there, you know, stressing. But thank you. Thank you, one and all. And thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. It's all just wonderful and so kind. Thank you. To each and every person who shares their precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner they so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you. Thank you, Sparky, holding down the seat of honor at the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Keep getting better, Ben. It does get better. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And remember, now is the time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and politely demand that they sign on to H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, please. We have never had a better chance to pass this bill than we have in this Congress. And the time to act is now. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Please get your vaccine as soon as you possibly can. In the meantime, wear your mask, double mask. Wear gloves if you got them. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands frequently. Use hand sanitizer. Carry it with you everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance like Paul from Parts Unknown tells us. And that's 15 feet between people wearing masks and 15 states between people who aren't. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, They're going to give that money to an organization what don't like guns and wants to murder me. Avoid that person like the plague. Because she is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.